celebrating 3 years of bringing you the very best in LGBT talk programming. This is
Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody out there wondering where the hell we are. Well, we almost don't know.
I was late.
Oh, it has nothing to do with you. We know that.
You were actually on time.
I
call that early. You were early, girl. Be proud.
What I'm loving is now I can't figure out how the camera shot won't come up like it's supposed to. I feel like somehow I've been sabotaged. I don't know why. I feel like that right now. Because nothing is working like it's supposed to. That won't take. Joe.
I look like shit anyway.
I think we're going to start this whole goddamn show over.
It could be the Republican Jesus. He hates all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
I got nothing.
Sons of vengeance.
Go back. What?
Master.
So that means none of that went out? It did or didn't?
Yeah, type.
Oh, look at that.
There we go.
Some video footage, some audio, a little bit of audio.
There I am.
Listen, it would not be our last show in Studio B, right?
At this point, I'm now glad it's our last show in Studio B.
Without some technical difficulties.
What in gay hell? She's good. Somehow one of our internet wireless networks failed right as we were getting ready to go on, and all of us are connected because we couldn't have a show without Katie Googling something.
That's very true.
Or all of us having access to news, weather, sports, and anything else of any interest. Well, hi, it's 7:15. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. That is me. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday night, the last Tuesday in August. Jeez, already the last Tuesday
That's
in August.
Crazy.
I know, right here, coming to you live from the heart of Central Phoenix, from Studio B in the Q-Talk America Plaza. We're here every Tuesday. Typically, we start at 7, but today we were a little tardy due to a technical error, but because you need all 3 hours... we'll go to a little after 10 just to make sure you get everything you pay for with this show. I'm here along with Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and of course, Katie June. And oddly, he showed up just because we needed a technical thing, and he just showed up into the studio. Joe Daganzik is here also.
Hi, Joe.
Creator and starter of Q Talk America many years ago, just a few years ago, actually. Five years ago, right? Four? Yeah, something like that. I heard it on another show this past weekend. Anywho, we are coming to you live as we do weekly, our show with all kinds of pomp and circumstance and swearing and bad words and liquor. So by God, at this point, I'm already to start drinking now.
Cheers.
My God. Al, what did you bring with you this week? A nice Beaujolais?
A bottle of wine, compliments of Harrison. We bought wine when I was in California, and we never drank any.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, I had one glass of wine in the movie theater the whole weekend.
Real shame.
So I'm like... taking that home.
Don't leave Harrison's without it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, hi, Harrison. And Tyler is back with us this weekend. Hello,
Tyler.
He's in the chat room. And we thank you for letting us know that you couldn't hear us because we were not really sure what the hell was going on for a few minutes. So
it does actually appear, perhaps, that Harrison might not have sound still.
Mom says she can see us, but she cannot hear us.
Yes, Harrison also has silence.
Oh, I love every aspect of this. Yeah, maybe that's golden. Not sure. If there's some way we can verify that what our output is. We've got audio levels going out on that. But I'm wondering if you can verify from some other source whether or not they are getting what they're supposed to be getting. I don't know how we do this. But when we get into Studio C, I'm hoping to have this all mastered and figured out so that we don't have these little issues ever again. Mainly because nobody else will be touching the equipment but me.
Well, obviously Tyler can hear us because he just asked a question.
Yeah. But Tyler, doesn't he only listen to this audio stream, which are two separate things?
Audio. I don't think Harrison watches. I think Harrison listens.
And Tyler might be watching because he said he had video. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Tyler's on video. So video's good with sound and audio. And
with sound?
Video's all set.
Yeah, he answered a question, okay. I don't have
he's a lip reader.
I'm going to text my I'll be texting my mom to have her restart her phone.
Did this chair go down or
you can make it go back? No, you can go back up.
It's your beautiful posture.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you know what? In fact, I made a comment in reference to I was with Joe and Babe on their show on Saturday for a while, and I'm like, well, no wonder Marnie looks short because I sat in that chair and I was like, I felt like I was in a Pontiac Fiero for just a moment. That's what it felt like.
Beautiful Pontiac Fiat.
Yes.
Oh, I have no idea. Fuck it.
I'm sure you can figure it out.
I'm sure I can.
Somebody will figure it out somewhere along the way.
I don't feel like it.
Ah, horse shit. Yeah. Well, I get all skewed when we start off and it's all wrong like that.
Yeah.
And none of us were here early for any kind of a check.
Yeah, well, no.
Which is normally, we were saying too, normally I'm here about a half an hour early and helped. We get to kind of check and I get all my internet set up and then Al rolls in, you know, 5 minutes or so after that.
Right.
And then Marnie comes in, but we're all
like 20 minutes after that.
But no, but you come in from work, right? And it's all, and we're set and we're sound checked and we're good. And today, for whatever reason, we all came in about 2 minutes before the show was going to start. And,
except for me, I got here at six and I did everything. I rebooted, I checked, I did everything. I had internet, everything was lovely. And then all of a sudden something just took a shit. And that's right when we were going on
Thanks,
the air.
Cox.
Yeah. Well, no, I only have to do them. I think I actually have a Linksys router that failed because once I reset it obviously.
Yeah.
Came back up.
Absolutely.
Anywho.
God knows it happens at my house all the time.
I
have to reboot things all the time.
See, and I don't
really... I only did the hard reboot once because then he had explained to me the whole nightmare that was putting that back together.
Oh, right? I don't get it at all. And every time I have to reboot something, you know, I have internet TV, so I have to go back on and like...
Make it find your network.
Redo everything. And I don't get it. And so I have lost my shit on more than one occasion. Yeah. With the Linksys guy. And one time I was like 9 months pregnant and all I wanted to do was watch effing TV and it wasn't working and I broke down into a hysterical crying fit on the phone with Linksys. I mean, he was basically destroying my life.
When did we start using phrases like effing in this? We're not talking about a brand of vodka here.
That's actually true. But we basically were only about
She was talking about being pregnant.
We're 2 minutes in. Oh, so,
I want to watch fucking TV. Okay, well now we got that.
I think it was actually Titanic. I was like watching Titanic and it turned off and I was already crying. It was like a whole mess.
Yeah. Were you screaming at the TV? Go, you did this to me.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, it was the Linksys guy.
Got you pregnant.
Fuck yeah. I lost it.
Wow. Ugh. Angry lesbian on line two claims she's pregnant, lost her wireless.
No more Titanic.
Yeah. Not good.
The unsinkable Katie Brown.
That was me.
Oh, show Tyler your foam finger.
Oh, well, is that safe for a story for later?
Yeah, a little bit.
Are you going to reenact Miley Cyrus from the VMAs?
I am definitely not going to
do that. No.
But you like to tweak or twerk or whatever.
I did try twerking. Yeah. I was really bad at it.
Apparently did that
something.
The other night.
So I'll just say that.
Katie, let's get you pulled up here. Yeah, go and whoops, there we go.
Oh, so this is our Mercury foam finger. Oh. And I actually.
Ow.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like I need to do this a little bit.
Wow, now just sniff it like she did in that. Oh, pretty much,
she was such a vulgar
Gene Simmons tongue kind of thing going
but
on.
But here's the best part. So
there is a best part?
There's actually I would not generally be walking around with my mercury foam finger, even in light of
But
Sunday
it could be
nights.
A nice mitten. I mean, look at it. It protects your hand.
Yeah,
you two
it's
of them.
Nice and cozy. Uh-huh. So we had this in Palmer's playroom. We brought it home from a basketball game. Well, I cleaned out her playroom. I totally redid it this weekend.
Okay.
And I had just put this in the garbage. And it was sitting right on the top. And Kelly went to go take the garbage out. I wasn't thinking anything about it until I get in my car and it's shoved into my dash with a note that says, Katie, dancing with you was a dream come true. Love, Miley. Smiley face with the tongue sticking out. And it just makes me love my wife.
Now, that is fabulous.
I think we should either make up a good story all of a sudden or we should retract the fact that you said that you threw that in the trash. Because I bet anybody who's from the Mercury that may have just stopped listening would like to know why all of a sudden you're throwing promotional
ladies.
Materials.
Why are you throwing them under the bus?
Listen, you know, you got a 2-year-old, you got a lot of crap, something's got to go, right? Yeah. This is it.
That saved the day right there. There we go.
Yeah. Well done.
Unintentional. Unclutterer.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned. Am I the only one concerned that the thumbnail on that is really, it's a little long? Am I concerned
about
that?
Yeah, it's long. Especially for a lesbian.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. It is long for a lesbian. It is.
But the rest of them aren't. Ouch. So apparently she's handy. Yeah. Just to guess. She's handy.
File that shit.
Yes. By the way, Harrison, if you're looking for the video link, you can go directly to QTalkAmerica.com. And on the same line where you click to listen live, there is a watch now button. Try that. See what happens. I forget what device she watches on, though.
On an iPad.
Oh, well, then she should totally be able to see it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're going to have to toggle back and forth between the video feed and chat room if you're using the iPad for chat room. There's so many other things to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's I find that trying to watch the show and then I tried for a while to do the link on the side and do the chatting there, and that just turned into a headache.
Yeah, it's a big mess, especially for you who gets really tired of shit really quick.
Oh, yeah.
My ADD was already in overdrive.
I know how you are, exactly.
Squirrel.
Oh, anywho. Okay, so Katie, aside from throwing a foam finger away, anything new?
No, I'm planning my daughter's second birthday party, so that's exciting.
I'm sure she's real excited about that, too.
No, a bouncy house and beer? What does that go with?
There's beer.
I'm just curious.
Yeah,
no, my neighbor had his one-year-old birthday party, and there was just, like, cases of Sam Adams.
That's awesome.
That's a one-year-old's birthday party right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because birthday parties.
If we want people to come,
yes that, you're exactly, that is exactly right.
And that's the same all the way for the rest of your life.
Yeah, birthday parties and bridal showers. Yeah. I had, although I was not drinking, I was sure to have my bridal shower.
Good.
Stopped.
Stour, your bridal shower?
My shower.
Stour.
Your baby shower?
You mean it baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, because I thought maybe you weren't
talking. No, I'm sorry. Baby shower. It was, I had all kinds of booze for my friends because they suck. They're not fun. So come and like drink some sangria and we had some lemonade with vodka.
Your friends and suck?
No.
Or the parties?
The parties.
Yeah.
Okay. Baby showers. Just clarifying some things here.
They are not
She's throwing everybody under the bus.
I know.
This
that's what
and baby birthday parties are just as miserable.
They're really bad. Yeah, they're horrible.
Miserable.
Mine had a lot of beer and fun people. Mm-hmm. And I've been to some other friends of mine. And I'm like, I walk in. And maybe I'm just an alcoholic. But I walk in and I'm like... Where's the picture of sangria?
Well, you know, and I was trying to remember this for Harrison.
They get pissed.
Precious child syndrome. That's like the people that get pregnant late or they try really hard to get pregnant. They finally have the baby and then, like no one drinks around them. The house is cordoned off. Everything is like sanitized before they touch it.
No, that is not us.
I love precious child syndrome. So that's why, of course, there's no liquor till the kid turns 5 and they realize, like, oh, sweet Jesus, why haven't we not been drinking for
this? Why haven't we had cocktails?
Yeah. No, that's...
That kid can drive itself somewhere. There's a wagon out there.
Yeah. Well, hell, I remember, I think we probably shared this story before. I mean, not at that young of an age, but I even think it... probably 13, maybe even 12, 13 on, you know, before driver's license, I was driving to the corner to get mom beer and a gallon of milk.
That's a different
era, though. Driving to the
I was a designated driver.
My mom's like, go to the good liquor store.
I was a DD for my family a couple times, but when I was 16.
How things have changed.
Well, why do you think she had Palmer?
I was
get ready, Palmer.
I should have done it years ago, really. If that
I think I learned
reasoning.
To drive drunk before I learned to drive sober.
Oh, that's so scary.
Still with no clutch, though.
No,
didn't know. No car with a clutch, not mastered until later in life.
Yeah, much later.
Much later in life.
I remember one time trying to drive down the street. Some girl that I hung around with had a stick, and I was like, this is just useless.
What was his name?
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of people that dated a stick. But the funny thing was, like you said, like about 5 seconds, and I'm like, there's no reason for this. My mother has a car back there that she is not using. Right.
I went and bought my first vehicle, and it was weird. It was like a pickup truck, and I didn't know I was gay, but
wasn't a Subaru pickup truck though.
It was
on our way to a softball game. So many mysteries.
That's a Nissan. I know, right?
Yeah,
I played sports year round. And so I go to get this. Pick out a car. I'm going to pick out a car. Well, it turned out to be the truck, and I just loved it, and that was great, except it was a stick. And I didn't know how to drive a stick. Seidel did, my best friend. She knew how to drive a stick. I was buying it way far away, but I thought, well, I watched her do it. It can't be that hard. Well, I was there until the place closed. Like, I'm like...
Wait, it was already yours.
I bought it.
Yeah, it was yours.
Well, I knew I wanted it, and I would learn somehow.
So 4 hours later, it goes right into service to get a new clutch.
Well, the hard part was that we didn't have these little suckers in 86.
You had a carrier pigeon.
Like, Lisa, hello. Oh, there's nothing there. So I had to go inside, call her, and she had to drive a half an hour to get to me and be brought to me so she could drive me out of that lot. Her first question, you'll understand this knowing Lisa. I don't think you guys have ever met Seidel. Good Lord. She's like, will I look good in it?
Yeah, she would be.
We couldn't be more
just
different.
Help me drive.
And then she was pissed because she pulled up and it was a white truck.
Yeah.
She's like, it's not black. I'm not driving that.
What? That's a hot mess of a friend.
She is a hot mess. I love
just
her.
Just get me home. We'll throw a black shirt over
just
the side.
Do whatever you need. Get inside. You won't see that.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that whole drive the stick thing. Sorry, just an aside.
No, understand. I started driving stick shifts. That's how I learned. Three on the tree.
Yeah, and that's something your mom was talking about that a long time ago.
Our Dodge truck is
what
is
that? Oh, and my
see,
mom
I've never driven one of those.
I used to drive stick, but I don't know what three on a tree is.
Three on the tree is when you had the gear shift lever was on the top, and you pull the gear shift up and down would be first, but up and up was reverse. So you, it was a three speed. So it was three. Okay. So you first, then you go, you drop it second, third.
Right. Yeah. I had the always the floor.
I heard about stuff like that, but I'm far too young to know what it is.
Oh, yeah. Likewise.
I'm going to introduce you to your garage, and you can go sit in my truck for a while and find out how. I think you might be familiar.
That's funny.
By the way, there's more room in your garage now that you've come home. I realize you haven't been
in
the garage.
I did my bike out.
That's right. You did. Yeah, I found out that half the shit in your garage was Carlton's.
Yeah. Oh.
I didn't realize all that. He didn't even realize all that was his. He's like, well, oh, this box is mine too. Oh, this box is mine. So he just loaded my truck.
There's probably a box of drag out there in my yearbooks.
And that would probably,
that's all yours.
That's it.
And the rest is.
That would finish it. Yeah. And the box of drag may not have made it to this last move. I may have been like, whatever.
This is not seeing the light
I'll
of day again.
Could have.
Yes. Not sure about that.
That
one.
Is usually my motto. It's like, seriously, do I need this fucking shit?
Well, that's a good motto to have. I do.
It's what he lives by.
Well, I'm not a hoarder, but mine would be all that sentimental shit. sentimental shit.
Mm-hmm. Of what?
Yeah, like that. I have all my notes from high school.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. I don't. Yeah. In fact, I wish I had a fire. Well, I do have a fireplace, but I have to move stuff out of the way to make it work. Because I do shred a lot of different things.
Right.
I did a bunch of corporate stuff for Edge recently, but I just think there's some satisfaction of a fire when you burn stuff and there's a finality. I don't mean like a house or a school.
Well,
I mean, like,
sometimes a house isn't a bad thing.
Thank you for clarifying.
If you have a box of mementos and you're like, I don't want anybody else to ever see this or anybody else, da 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 da. So then, boom, you flame and there's no way in hell you can get it back. It's just gone.
You can't tell me that you've never seen Murder, She Wrote or Matlock, though, because that usually doesn't work because there's always a piece of paper that you can get caught by.
It doesn't burn.
Well, it doesn't burn. Right?
Lands, it like flitters out of the fire.
No, it will be. I assure you, Angela Lansbury is never coming to my house. And Andy Griffith died.
Still dead.
So I'm pretty good.
You feel safe?
I feel good.
I've never been a burner, but I am the.
You've been a toker.
That is. I have actually.
Yeah, I know.
I retract. Been a burner, but I don't burn. I don't set fire to things that I no longer desire to have, but I throw everything away, but oftentimes to my own detriment, and I won't realize it until a year later when I'm where's that one thing? I know I had that. Sure. I know I had that. And then I have to really replay, and Kelly's like, probably throw it away, because she gets pissed, because I'm always like, just chuck it. I hate having extra stuff I don't need.
Sure.
I throw everything out.
Yeah, well, you're one of those
people.
Like
this foam finger that came back like a boomerang. It came back to me.
So we now know how that works out for you.
Yeah.
So
that might lead through the air right at your head.
That's funny. I give Kelly
that right out of her crotch.
I'm assuming Kelly actually did that. That's very funny that she did.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yes. No, Palmer. Right. Yeah, I know. I don't think so. Marnie's still doing payroll?
Yeah, no.
Yay. No.
Jesus, do you need to leave?
No.
Because I don't know
that I've ever said no before. No.
Wow.
No.
Never.
With conviction.
There's that.
That's great, Marnie.
I know.
Oh, speaking of somebody that works.
Sunday. But,
not meaning to, I'm going to let you finish in a minute. I feel like Kanye West all of a sudden.
That's fine. Thanks.
Somebody that we're all friends with. I believe you know her. Kat Carlson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kat Carlson. I found out this week because I just reinstalled equipment at Cash In. I found out because she posts a lot and she likes a lot of references to the show. And I'm like, okay, so I approached her or was talking to her when I was there. I'm like, either you just randomly like shit or you literally are paying attention.
She listens every week.
She says that because she lives half an hour away.
Yep.
She downloads the show when we upload and she listens 30 minutes.
Yep.
Every time. That's how she listens
to it.
Oh my
God, that's awesome.
She's hysterical.
All of them. She's very, very, she's very funny.
And she's on it. Like, that's why the thing about the back, you remember Ickleib Dick?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever. She's the one that looked that up and at Dancing with the Bar. She's like, by the way,
I've been fact checking,
and this is what, and what?
She's very funny.
Yeah.
In fact, she might. I think it would
she's
be
very
entertaining
funny.
To possibly have Kat come in someday.
That would be fun.
But what
she
sucks
could guess
is,
bartend.
But she could totally guess bartend.
Oh my god!
Because good at it.
I think it would be fun to have her and not with one of you out, just to have to add her. Just like that'd be a guest bartender.
Yeah.
So
Kat,
as you're driving and listening, I want you to be thinking of a special beverage you could prepare for us, and we have multiple blenders where the new studio is, and a kitchen and a microwave. So there's many facets.
She's also a good teacher, so she could make the beverage and then teach us how to make it, and we could, you know, teach a man how to fish, that kind of thing. She's a good teacher.
I don't want any fish. I just want some wine.
We'll get on that later. Got it. So things are good.
Yeah, everything's good.
Nothing else has failed in that house of your girlfriend's? Ernie? Aaron? Yeah.
Everything's great.
Everything is beautiful in its own way.
If you ever want to be a burner, just let me know.
Al, what did you, what were you doing in Cali?
Just went to visit Harrison. She was house sitting for some friends, and I went to just keep her company and lay by the pool and see a couple of movies all of a sudden, in the Los Angeles area.
I thought it was just a random, like, spur of the moment. You just took off and went, and like I thought, oh, something's happening that you just got, like, late last minute tickets to or something.
No, not at all. I was very, very relaxed. The only downside to it was I had to get up early this morning
to come back.
To come back and just to avoid traffic on either side.
Sure.
But I picked the right time. I mean, once I got up and I was, you know, I forget that the rest of the world, when they're looking at me, doesn't realize I don't live at this time of day and that time of day.
Yeah. Oh, so during the morning.
At 8
so you're like a special,
morning,
you're a special
I'm
guest.
I'm a miserable cunt. Yeah. I really just want to hurt you.
Yeah?
Because that's time for me to go to bed.
You so wake up and Harrison's like, okay, pack your shit. Let's get out the door.
I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I don't want to eat yet. I can't have coffee. I don't want any water. I just need, like, everybody has, like, I have tunnel vision. It's the middle of it. It's my time to go to bed.
Yeah.
So to have an alarm wake me up and everything, I'm miserable.
Sure.
But it was a fast drive, like no traffic whatsoever. No, like,
it's a really easy drive.
Scarcely another car. Okay. It was worse. I drove in the nighttime going out there because I thought that'd be a little less PTSD. Completely wrong.
Yeah, no.
Turns out it's just pitch black with trucks.
Right.
Big trucks.
Yeah, oh, it was terrifying.
Very scary. And anytime you get in anything windy.
But I took my time. I was in no hurry. I was going to sleep while she did. She does something on Saturday, so I was going to sleep while she was
catch up
doing her early morning thing, and then we'd be on the same time zone, which works.
I forget how many adventures you've taken in that car, but I enjoy your car a lot. So
it's a very nice drive.
It's wonderful to take a trip in. It's very comfortable. Drives like a dream.
And got to L.A. on a half a tank of gas. Like,
what?
Nice.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, well, same thing when I went to San Diego.
Starts off saying that when I pull out of the driveway, like, you have, or pull out of the gas station, you have, like, 370 miles
to empty,
and it's 380 to LA. And then all of a sudden it says, you still have three. And like, the number never goes down. It never goes down. It never goes down. Like, you still have this much left.
Oh,
and it just kept going up every mile I went. So it was good. It was a fun trip. Saw some fun movies. And
you're going
to
tell us about your movies.
I'm excited to hear about them.
Beautiful weather and great. The place she has a beautiful pool. And it was lovely to just sit around and lay around with her.
And just relax.
Yeah, just relax.
Any specific music choice on this trip?
No, I just put it on random, which I was very excited about. It's the first time that I've really...
Because it is.
It's the first time in a long time that thing has been on random. So I never heard, I think, three songs repeated in 12 hours of driving and 3 hours around LA. I think I only heard, and I may have been the cause of the repeat.
Sure.
May have said, one more time.
Play it again. Yeah. Right. That car of his is fantastic. I don't think I've ever seen a car more where the sound system is first and then they build the car around it.
Okay.
Because I heard things when I drove your car to San Diego. I literally heard things in songs that I'm like, I've heard that 1,000 times. Yeah. I never heard that.
Yeah.
It really is an awesome sound system.
Something was whispering, and I'm like, is there somebody in the back seat?
Can you remind me, mostly, but also our listeners at here and abroad, what kind of a car you're driving?
It's a Ford Fusion Hybrid. Huh. And it drives, just for a hybrid, it drives...
Joe's happy about the hybrid.
Yeah, it drives better on the... Well, it drives as well as my Honda, whatever the hell that car was called,
Cross Tour.
It drives just as well, and that was a big six-cylinder full.
Mm. Now, I did enjoy driving that car too, but I actually think I like this car better.
Yeah, the sound system's better. So
and I hated your other car. Remember how the beam went across
spot.
The back?
Oh, it hit a blind spot that was seriously the whole wide world. You could get all of Jerry's kids in
that. In that Cross Tour, if you looked in the rearview mirror, the beam that went across the back tailgate went right across the fucking mirror.
Oh.
So you had to look above or below it.
So there was a split spot and a blind spot on either side.
Yeah, it was not good.
That doesn't seem good.
It was an Accord with a fat ass is what we called that car.
Yeah, it was an Accord with a fat ass.
Sure it was.
And I'd like to give an update that Barbara Seville's Wonderful 100.
Oh, where are we?
It's in first place with $3,125.
Do you know where the 25 came from? Me.
Was it you?
Were you the last 25? Just
no, that's I'm still there.
Oh, yeah. No, so am I. Don't feel bad.
So am I.
Kelly's actually been raising. She's at like $75 now.
I love it.
Yeah.
The bar has been raised to make the top 20. You have to be at 100. so I'm number 2 with $600.
Of course you are.
Number 2
Everybody.
Or out of the Wonderful 100?
Out of the top 20 walkers and runners
in the whole thing.
You're number 2 across the board.
Yeah. Yes. Last year
congratulations.
And what were you last year or the year before?
I sneaked in at number 10, but that was with $1,525.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Like, I had to get somebody to donate the $25 at the last second.
But you're so creative and funny that you're just like... you know, then I got up and had a cup of coffee. You should donate. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
I you know, have it on there. It's you're just fantastic.
And then I take
it
around work. I print out my little tickets and I pass them out.
I think it's extortion. I think he's got shit on everybody in that restaurant. And they're like, oh, fuck, we got to donate to
Al. If I get anything interesting. Well, the first
time I saw your post on Facebook where you're like, anyway, this was a fun thing that I did. And then it was like, donate to my page. I'm like, he must have fucked up. Like, he obviously
does.
No.
That's subliminal.
Again and again and again. And I'm like, no, he knows what he's doing.
Just brilliant.
I love Donna Summer. Donate to my page.
Yeah, we're still in August. Like I was,
you're rocking. Rocking and rolling.
I didn't even join the last time till like September 10th or something.
That's what I was going to ask. Right. Where were you at this point last year? But you weren't even on the map.
Yeah, I wasn't even on the map.
And do you remember the people that donated largely to you? Call them.
Yeah,
call them again.
Well, now I got to hit up everybody at work because I disappeared. Sure. I printed them all out, their little fundraiser things that has the little thing that they can hit with their phone.
Okay.
And just take some right to it.
How smart is that?
That is. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Nate Roten's doing, putting the little scan thing on it.
Oh, it's a good idea.
I believe it was.
It is smart.
Good.
Yes.
So that will be fun.
Yeah, well, that's good. And my mom's agreed to go and do it with us. So
she's going to watch.
I've just got to sign her up. I haven't done that yet.
I was like, well, she agreed last week.
Well, right, but
I
then
was the
she
only
and,
one talking no, to
but,
her.
But then she and I talked this week.
Yeah, good.
Uh-oh.
Harrison's
out.
Yeah, but she continues to have audio problems. She's always had that for the whole time she's
listening. I was
watching
the video for a minute, and then it went. Okay.
But everybody else is on board and going, so we shall continue on with our forage into
our apologies to Harrison.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know what the audio is weird. I tried it on my phone too, and it really is.
We'll just
How
keep going.
How about you,
fine, sir? Just really, it's been a lot of prep for new restaurant moving, move equipment, set up new equipment, cash is back, this is happening, all this is happening, sure. Carlton moving out, so I had to, I'm starting to prep Studio C. So there's been a lot of stuff, and now I found out that something else has to happen between now and Monday for my schedule, so that it just never stops. It's all right. Never stops.
I was going to ask if you were busy on set, but I guess.
Yeah, no. There's, yeah, don't.
But
don't
you
even.
Are. I'm kidding.
Kinda.
You
sorta.
Talked a little bit about on Facebook about Jackson Kelly's new venture. So that's a totally a public thing that everyone kind of knows
Jackson
about now.
Jackson Kelly and Company, which are the boys who own Bliss Rebar downtown in Central Phoenix. Amsterdam closed its doors on the 17th of this month, and I was in there last Friday. Last Friday, and I pulled all of the original computer equipment that was installed from Edge Studios years and years ago.
Sure.
Oh, filthy. Anyway, so I've got to go through and renovate that. They are already making huge renovations.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
They're not letting, I don't want to give out too much, but there's a lot of renovations going on.
Now, there was really like three bars connected there.
Kind
did all of them close?
Four bars.
Now, did all of them close or just Amsterdam?
No. Amsterdam closed, and then the other ones, the one in the middle that was Palazzo, which was absolutely gorgeous. Remember Palazzo? Mm-hmm. Went to JoJo's birthday party. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous bar.
That's the one that burned. The unfortunate fire.
Oh, is that the one that was? Oh, I didn't remember. I don't remember that.
That was before.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay. So that Palazzo is there, which makes sense because it looks newer than anything else. It sold up, but apparently they're still using what used to be Crowbar years ago, which is they're all calling downtown.
Oh, 702 downtown?
Yeah, something like
that. That's been around for a long time.
Right. So that is still continuing, and Steve still owns that. But I don't know if you, and we've probably explained this before, but the interesting way liquor licenses are in, I don't know if it's just city or county or state or how that works, but as long as if you own a building and all you had 4, 5, 10 bars all in the same building, as long as they are able to be accessed in some way, not by customers necessarily, but if you as an owner can go walk through a door and go to this one and then go to that one, and go to that one, one liquor license.
With inside.
So wait, so does he own all of the, do they own all of those now?
They did. No, they only bought Amsterdam. They have walled off between what was Miami.
Oh, okay. So they're not doing
Miami.
Miami's
the one
either.
That looked like the giant bathtub.
Yeah. It had the big pink elephant.
Yeah. Oh, I just remember that it was all white tile. Like you could hose the whole place down and no one would be hurt.
Right, right. No, so that.
And then Palazzo was the one that had the beautiful furnishings upstairs and it burned mysterious fire.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, and then downtown's downtown. But yeah, so Amsterdam they've walled off Miami, so you no longer have access to that.
The patio, though, at Amsterdam, which at one point was called also something else.
I don't remember that.
Maybe I'm mistaken. Well,
that was always part of it, though.
But the patio remains.
Yes, that's still will be there. Absolutely.
That's the cell.
That's like the best part of
that. Once that bar went completely wrong, that's the only reason to ever go.
Hopefully yeah. they'll the last time
I went, because I just get that place was just yeah. stupid.
But so they're opening the third.
Are we friends with the people that used to own it? Because it was stupid.
So I actually really liked the guy that was running it prior to this. So I haven't spoken with him in a while, but and I know that the verdict is out on him. There are mixed reviews. But I actually got along with him very well and worked with him. Who's on that? A few projects. Sims Justin.
Justin Lehman. General manager was of it.
Yeah. And I heard a lot of stories about him, but I had always a really great relationship with him. So I,
as did I.
I don't have any idea what the story is, but I would imagine that
Steve Rogers wanted to get out of the business. He was done. He sold Sanctum, which is now Stacy's on Melrose. He sold Amsterdam. He sold Palazzo. Steve is going to be a landlord and not a bar owner.
I always wondered though, because you know, as people were continuing to go to Amsterdam, I was always hearing worse and worse and worse and worse reviews.
It changed because it got
disco music in a room that you had to sit on a couch, like, and you couldn't move, and all of a sudden you got dun 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 dun. I'm like, okay.
Well, then they moved all the couches out, but then then they tried to go a more straight crowd.
Right, and that failed miserably.
And then it became just a really crowd that I was not super desired.
I haven't gone there in years.
Much to be desired.
I haven't gone in years, and I went one time. It was my birthday, and it was the Glee. It's actually the night that I met you.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Glee concert, and I went to meet him for a drink in Amsterdam, but my rule was I wasn't going inside the bar for any reason.
That's amazing.
So I sat at the first table right past the gate, and I sat there, and I just let everybody... Eventually, they came to me, and then when I had to pee, I went somewhere else to pee, because I was like, I will not step foot in the bar. I did the drink, but I never broke the plane.
Well, I am excited for what it will become, because those Jackson, Kelly, and crew, they know what they're doing.
So I'm very excited.
I'm excited.
And he is beyond excited.
Yeah.
He was bouncing off the walls that I said, well, text me the second you got keys. And he was like, oh my God, I got keys. Yeah. Like, oh my God. He's
so great. He's had some really exciting conversations with Sway Events.
I'm very excited about
that. And it'll be fun.
So the 3rd of October is when they're opening a soft open. Then their grand opening is Rainbows Festival weekend, which is the 18th, 19th, and 20th of October, which also coincides with what we were talking about just a while ago. AIDS Walk Arizona is coming up as well. So many things happening. Whew, Lord, we are, we're real into it, but we're kind of on time if the clock was only 15 minutes less.
welcome to my world.
It's a Tuesday. Oh.
I'm now, we're on Marnie time tonight.
This is how it feels.
I'm personally blaming you. Yeah. That's what
Thanks.
We're doing. It is 7:44. We are going to head into our headline segment in just seconds right after this. It's Q-Talk America.
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
I'm straight.
I'm gay.
I'm bisexual.
And I give a damn about equality.
Want to know why?
Because one hate crime is committed approximately every hour of every day in this country.
Imagine walking down the street and wondering if this is the day you'll get beaten up or even killed simply because of who you are.
Because many gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender teens who come out to their parents are thrown out of their homes.
Imagine confiding in the people you trust most, only to be rejected and tossed out with no place to go.
Because during the past 16 years, over 13,000 men and women have been discharged from the military for being gay.
Imagine being willing to sacrifice your life to protect and defend this country, only to be kicked out of the military because of who you love.
These are just a few of the reasons why we care about equality.
It is time for things to change.
We all have to get involved.
We all have to give a damn.
I give a damn.
Do you?
Join us at wegiveadamn.org to learn more.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Okay. Pretend everything else didn't happen. It's headlines. If we get through
we'll
this show.
PC, you'll be fine.
Oh yeah, I will edit this all together. A woman who's 60 is mistaken for a sex escort.
Lions and tigers and dogs? Oh my.
Philadelphia tourism casts a drag queen in the new ad campaign.
You have to face each other during sex to get married.
Guess who's getting a fabulous mayor?
Oh Jesus.
Sex drive-in now open.
Well, if you can get married, you can get divorced.
And a 96-year-old man enters a song contest to pay tribute to his late wife. This and a few more things we'll figure out if everything works. maybe not. We'll see how that's going to work.
Love it. That's fantastic. It's so true.
Yeah, oh, it's so true. Well, let's start out in one of our favorite places.
Florida?
How Florida?
Exactly. Where else?
Well, a 60-year-old woman was flooded all of a sudden with sex texts after her number mistakenly appeared in an ad for a local escort. Nancy Caldwell, a secretary at an elementary school, had not even heard of a website called Backpage.com and initially thought the texts were simply a joke, and then deleted most of them when all of a sudden she realized that the suggestive texts just keep coming and coming, including this one. Hi, I saw your post. I'm interested, and I'm in town for a business trip, and I'm wondering if you're available. Caldwell finally confronted one of the callers when he told her about the Backpage.com ad. The ad featured a photo whose clients thought they were calling, but were not the secretary whose phone number this was attached to. After 2 months of calls to police and the phone company, her phone number was finally changed and the texting has stopped.
Well, thank goodness. That would be annoying.
But I hope the woman who posted the ad incorrectly didn't pay for that ad because she's losing money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She just thinks nobody likes her now.
Nobody's calling. They said it would work. They said. So we're going to go over some water to China.
Okay. All right.
So China has this zoo in the People's Park of something European. I don't know.
Possibly Asian.
Lu-hui something. I don't know. This.
Okay.
And so they have like exotic exhibits and all of this. But they replaced all of their exotic animals with common species.
Okay.
For instance, I was laughing so hard.
Thank you.
I'm going to pass this cute little thing around.
Thank you, Katie, for making me a beverage.
There was like a little kid, I believe he was four, that mom was taking him into the zoo to say, you know, hey, this is what the different animals sound like, et cetera. So he's trying to learn these zoo sounds, or animal sounds at the zoo. And they walk up to the lion's cage, and the lion goes, "Ruff." I laughed so hard picturing this little kid. He goes, "Mommy, I didn't know that lions bark." Well, they don't, but dogs do.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yes, the dog that they shaved
and then to make it look like
a
lion. Yes,
it's actually a mastiff. It's a
you have to be from a very remote part of China to have never seen a, you know, not know what a lion's gonna look like.
I was hysterically laughing. Can you imagine the kid? How fucking confusing.
That's funny.
This was
at a zoo.
That's at the zoo, and those people are there looking at the exhibit, just like we would at the Phoenix Zoo, walking around being like, "There's a giraffe." Nope. That's a flamingo.
Yeah, that's a horse.
I mean, like, what in the hell?
That's really funny.
And so it barks, and the kid who's learning the animal sounds is like, "No, I don't think so, Mom. You're lying."
You're lying?
You're lying. Oh, E-I-E. No. That is not how that song goes.
No, not even a little bit.
No.
So needless to say, in an update, the place is closed. The zoo has closed.
Because they didn't have animals. They had dogs. It was a dog.
Correct.
No kill shelter.
Wait, are they passing it off as a lion?
Oh, yeah.
Shut the front door. I missed that part.
Yeah, the zoo is absolutely cheating us. The woman, the mom of this dog, or of this dog.
Child. That's a child, dear.
Same fucking thing.
Yeah.
My kids are my animals.
Something that feed it and they sleep. I don't know.
So this dog was this Tibetan Mastiff they were passing off as a lion,
which is fabulous.
Right? But not a lion.
No.
And so they're cheating us. It costs $2.45 to get in, but we'll talk about that some other time. The three other species that they housed incorrectly included two Khoipu rodents. I love rodents so much these days. Khoipu rodents in a snake's cage. Because I haven't looked up this Khoipu thing, but maybe Google
it. I'm going to.
Okay.
Please. C-O-Y-P-U. A white fox in a leopard's den.
Cheesy Pete's.
Have there been a lot of, like, nuclear reactor things, or is that just in Japan? Because people were,
fucking,
I mean,
gross. I'm sorry. A Khoipu rodent is hideous.
And
looks like.
But it definitely doesn't look like a snake.
Okay.
And another dog was in the wolf's pen. Really? And maybe just make it like, because I think it was just like some kind of a mutt.
This is the Khoipu, and they're like, that's a bad picture. Oh. It doesn't show how huge they are.
Oh.
That looks like something that would make me want
to. Put it next to like a Buick.
Like the small child is about to attack.
What if that happened to you? I would die.
I don't know.
Now the lion, they do have a lion.
Lion in the winter.
Lion
in the winter.
And they, but it had been taken to a breeding facility. And so,
because they needed to breed more animals for their zoo.
Because the dog belonged to an employee. And so they temporarily housed it at the zoo.
Wow.
And passed it off. I mean, it's really ridiculous. It says they could have at least used a husky to pretend to be a wolf. So I have a feeling it's just like a mutt, like a poodle or something in there, you know, like. Right. So anyway, that picture, I don't know if anybody can wear.
Doesn't look like a lion, but I mean, it's funny.
Come on. I mean, it has the lion's mane.
Yeah,
no. I mean, not
that's,
really.
That's everywhere on the internet. Just Google that. It was hysterical.
Yeah. Lions and whoops. Tigers and dogs.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a what?
It's all right. We'll get it.
So hysterical to me. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. No problem.
That is good.
Well, it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
It sure is.
It's always happy. It's a good time.
Don't watch it with your mother, though.
I would, if you can, and I put this story on our Facebook page. You can look it up, watch the video, because I cannot play the video for you because I already tried it earlier and it didn't work. Anyway, timeless.
That's when it all went wrong.
Timeless entertainer Miss Richfield 1981 talks about brotherly love officially this time. Always gay friendly Philadelphia up their LGBT game with a new tourism spot starring Miss Richfield 1981, a drag performer who splits her time between the city of brotherly love and Provincetown. That is when she's not touring the country performing, because she is funny in person. She's a great guy. In fact, didn't you run around with her at some, where you went somewhere recently?
Yeah, in P-Town.
You were in P-Town.
She
got
was,
it.
She was there and very, yeah, she very was charming.
She was at Hamburger Mary's years ago and funny.
But
funny,
in the new TV spot, you can see her visiting Philadelphia's most sacred spots like the Liberty Bell, Independence Hall, and the Rocky Steps, featured in the Rocky movie, and the city's fantastic Philadelphia Museum of Art. It's really a cute, it's a cute commercial. So if you go to our Facebook page, you can see the story where they talk about it. Or I'm sure if you Google Philadelphia tourism and Miss Richfield, you'll find the video. But so far,
that whore, just Google her. I'm sure she'll direct you right to whatever her latest project is.
But it's it's a very cute thing. And you know, obviously booking or you're trying to up gay tourism for that. I think that's a funny and fun way to do it. So it really got me to thinking, I wonder what it would take to get somebody like Seville, who is a media whore already, get her, if we could get her a real officially filmed campaign to promote Phoenix, I wonder how much play we could get with
that'd
that. Be that'd
awesome.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Chamber shuts it down.
Yeah.
Well, because Pennsylvania still doesn't have gay marriage, right? That's one of the ones that's
not
still
that
pending.
Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't believe so.
Got it.
Actually, it's not even one of the ones that's pending, because we have New Mexico, Illinois, and Ohio that are going to go next.
Yeah.
Is it Ohio?
Yeah, Ohio.
New Mexico's like spreading across the state.
Yeah, and Ohio's the one where the not the governor, but everything is working with us.
Okay.
But I think maybe everybody but the governor's on board.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Nice. Well, not in Mexico. Well, not with this one politician, at least. It's not working about gays marrying. Not at all.
In Mexico itself?
In Mexico.
Okay.
Well, in, let's see, where is this lovely place in Mexico? I had it. The state of Puebla?
Okay.
Something. She is from...
I'm not familiar with all the states of our Mexican neighbor, but...
No. So the reason that we can't get married, we can't look each other in the eye when we're having sex.
Oh, then you're doing it wrong.
Well, there's that.
Oh, I heard this.
Gays shouldn't marry as they don't face each other during sex. Congresswoman Ana Maria Jimenez Ortiz, blah, blah, blah,
so
blah, 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 blah.
People like this are in...
I know
positions.
A few boys that are related to her who should explain it to their tia how this fucking works. Yeah. Let me just tell you right
she
there.
She has caused controversy
tia Ortiz.
Because marriage should be reserved for people that can look each other in the eye while having intercourse.
Oh, I got to write
Puebla,
this.
Why did you act like you couldn't pronounce that word?
I was looking for it. I just was looking for it. Not that I couldn't pronounce it. I was looking for it. I thought you just wanted to see it. Yeah.
Keep going. I got a question. Keep going.
So anyway, she caused this outrage, and her. I just when I read it, I went, "What?"
Outrage.
The fact that people want it legalized, she's absolutely opposed. Absolutely opposed. Marriage should only be considered in those relationships in which members have sex while facing each other. She just keeps saying it over and over. And she added, a marriage should only be considered among people that can look each other in the eye while having sexual intercourse, which she says does not happen in homosexual couples.
Kind of does.
Yeah, well, she needs to watch some more
videos.
Yeah,
definitely can.
right?
Let me write you with a couple links
frequently.
There, dear.
Yeah.
Wait,
and really well. Yeah.
Well, and the politician also reportedly cited a study
reverse
claiming
cowboy
children
comes
of same-sex couples have a higher rate of mental issues later in life.
That yeah, because we're trying to fight you fucking idiots.
We're trying to look you in the eye and tell you to fuck up. Anyway, that that study was obviously widely debunked and criticized, but she, just like any other kind of crazy bitch, holds on to it.
Yeah, because they make up their own facts.
Absolutely. They make up whatever.
They stand by them.
Yeah.
No matter what.
In related news, Mexico has also banned all blind people from marrying.
Exactly. Yes.
Such absolutely. A good point.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Or even absolutely. People with, like, 20/40 vision, maybe, like, cataracts in one eye.
I don't know who I was fucking. Where I can't are see you? It. She won't let me wear my glasses.
Well, do you have to have
fucking.
Sex with the lights on? I mean, do you have to physically see them? Because
yes. Well, every yes. Funny. Yes
wow.
and yes.
I'm not into that.
Same-sex marriages are who performed is? Legally in Mexico City and the states of Quintana Roo, Coahuila, and Colima, if I'm pronouncing those correctly. They're European. But expressly banned in the Yucatan.
That's where, like, Cozumel and...
Okay. That's what I thought.
What's
I
What's that? What's Cancun?
Is the Yucatan.
The Yucatan.
Peninsula.
That's the little nubbin that sticks up from the eastern side of Mexico.
So, yeah, this woman was just... She's a little bit crazy and... A
little bit?
A little bit.
A little bit.
She's kind of like a Mexican Michelle Bachmann, I think.
Yes. Yes.
When you say all that kind of shit, you're kind of left with that moniker, yeah. whether you want it or not.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. She just...
It's just nonsensical. It's insane. It's absurd. And it goes back to one thing I said a couple weeks ago, and we all agreed that...
You're doing a new diet?
So many... I'm now starting a new diet. Because I need to be able to... Kelly has to look at me while we're having sex.
Yeah.
Right?
So I got to be able to bend that way.
I need to look real good. So
I think it's more difficult for you than it is for...
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
But is that it's the sex thing. It's the sex thing. I mean, she's being really, really, really clear. She's like... I don't care if you love each other and walk down the street holding hands, right. but you can't look at each other during sex, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
So therefore... It all goes back to sex, yeah. and it makes people uncomfortable.
And she's probably just pissed because she ain't getting none of it.
I would bet.
Just a guess.
Well, that's just it. Absolutely.
I'm going to give you 80-20 odds on that one. Yeah.
Because we know Michelle Bachmann isn't.
No.
See, she moves to Wyoming.
And if she is, she's not being looked in the eye. I'll tell you that right now.
Honey, can you roll over and check that?
Yeah.
Could you pick that up? Thanks.
Just going to hurt for a minute.
Don't get the Brazilian.
You'll feel a slight pressure.
I want to go to Brazil. not for that reason, but of course not. Well, with the lovely town of San Diego, California, where the weather is always nice, Bob Filner, you know about him, he resigned as city council president. with Bob Filner's resignation, city council president Todd Gloria will become the interim mayor. And yes, as his name might, he's gay. Not Gloria Vanderbilt, but Todd Gloria. It also looks like Gloria, along with other gay and lesbian candidates, may run in a special election to replace the recently ousted Filner. San Diego, the second largest city in California and the eighth largest city in the nation, accepted Filner's resignation, yay, by unanimous vote. However, he will remain in office until August 30th, which is this upcoming Friday. And at that time, City Council President Todd Gloria will become interim mayor. His time as the temporary mayor isn't exactly that of an elected official. His powers are limited a little by city charter. He can't veto bills, but he will have limited supervising powers over the mayor's staff and various city affairs. The city council has to call a special election to be held within 90 days to replace the recently ousted mayor. Gloria, however, is expected to consider running in the special election. Also listed as likely candidates are two lesbian women and another gay man who previously ran against Filner for mayor and lost. There are other straight candidates also throwing their hats in the ring as well. If no candidate wins the majority, there will be a runoff election between the top two vote getters within 49 days. So I just think that it's fun that San Diego, as beautiful and as wonderful it is, with such a lovely... Well, I think you think it got burned out years ago, but I think it has a wonderful, lovely gay culture and neighborhood within Hillcrest.
Sure.
They have a gay mayor.
Oh, yeah, there's gays around there still. There's a couple. I still feel good and gay when I go to San Diego.
That San Diego, the whole area, just embraces it. I maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel that.
It just turned into like the gays left and the straights.
Because the gays can be anywhere.
Yeah. They re-gentrify the neighborhood. They made it nice, and then they all left, and it's just straight couples with strollers pointing and staring now. Like, oh, look, we live near gay people, aren't we?
But straights are gays. Like, who cares? Yeah. It's gorgeous. The weather. mother's good. Right. Like, who doesn't want to be in San
Diego? You better
have
your ducks in a row if you're going to buy property, because it's a lot.
And but this guy has had, I mean, he has had the luck of the Irish for months, because Wiener kept, because Harrison a couple weeks ago asked us a question. I'm like, he isn't making national news because Wiener's trumping him. Like, every single sex scandal that comes up is grosser than his.
Right.
Well, when we were talking about the...
Or has a better last name, like Wiener. Like, Wiener wasn't doing anything, but...
Yeah, come on.
His name is so funny.
But when we were talking, was it last week, concerning, is that sexual harassment? Where I think that's what...
Is that every week?
No, but I mean the specific...
Putting the breasts on.
Right.
Right. Mm.
And but this guy's a straight up pig.
But he's just fucking creepy. Like, that's just that gross, smarmy kind of...
And I want to say he was a Democratic congressman first from a San Diego district.
I think that's correct. And then he was the first Democratic mayor in 20 years, actually. A former congressman was San Diego's first Democratic mayor.
Which is a major, like, black eye for the Democrats in San Diego.
Because, I mean, fuck around, but the fact that he's just a fucking pig. Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
And then the cases are coming left right. And now San Diego has to pay for most of the lawsuits.
Right, now.
Because...
Of the lynch mob mentality that they're coming at him with.
Can I ask you something, though?
Sure.
And I know, and I this is going to sound like I'm an idiot or like, but one of the women that came on the news last week or whatever that said he inappropriately hugged me. She was real, real ugly and humongous. And I mean, she was like a big, fat, ugly lady. And I know.
Intentional.
It's intentional. Like, yes, weightism. But my point is,
is he a chubby chaser?
Yeah. I get that he is not also a peach. He is no spring chicken. No. He is not a good looking man. But I wonder if, because I feel like I've been around, like, just kind of, maybe I just don't take offense to it when, like, a pervy old man or just, like, a creepy old guy, like, gives me a hug and it may linger a little too long. I'm just kind of like, you're weird. But I leave and I'm not going to, like, file lawsuits about it.
Yeah.
And
I think the difference is when they become mayor and all of a sudden they're, like, preaching on, like, women's rights. And all of a sudden you're like, hold on a minute. You got a lot of hands there.
I think, too, though, like, I feel like the amount of charges against the amount of women that have come out of the woodwork, and of course, this woman is sitting with Gloria Allred, and I'm just like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
like,
that drives me nuts.
Me too.
Personally. Exactly.
But I wonder.
She gets a response.
Yeah.
Jesus. I wonder at what point is this guy just kind of he's a weird old grandpa character. But at what point is that woman like, he hugged me too long too? You are hideous. Yeah. He did not hug you too long. Like,
you should be happy somebody touched you.
Hugged you at all.
Oh my God.
I know.
That'll sell.
I know. It is. Someone's going to stab me on
devil's
the way out. But
women.
I am being the devil's advocate because I wonder how many of these are pile-ons. Yeah. I don't doubt that he's a creepy, weird sexual offender. Yeah. But
I guess I kind of thought the whole idea, and this is where I'm probably way off. I haven't read about it. Don't necessarily care sometimes. But the idea of the sexual harassment, that it had to be someone in power, which he's there, right?
Oh, no,
could do something to, like, it could affect.
No, it could be just a coworker, someone. Or,
right.
It could just someone in the same position as you that's, like, telling an off-color joke or making a.
But these people weren't necessarily working for him, correct?
Yeah, but he's the mayor, so he's kind of representing San Diego. So if you go in as, like, the Girl Scout and he fingers you. Yeah,
that's definitely gonna be sexual harassment.
Right, well, no, but you know what I'm saying is, like, that's not his boss. There's no recriminations, but it's grotesque.
Yeah,
no, it really is.
No idea. Oh my God. Yeah.
But that's what I said. But he just got lucky because even though he was a pig,
he's a pig.
Wiener's got a better last name, and it played more, and they just kept getting more play out of a story. Wiener hasn't actually touched another human being, and it's mostly consensual because it's a Twitter account.
Yeah.
You don't like him, don't follow him.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a good point.
That is a good point.
You don't have to answer
the tweet. But you're right, he has a great name for it.
I do have one tiny little bit of trivia. What is the largest U.S. city with an out gay or lesbian mayor?
I was going to be all excited because I knew about Senate, I knew about Congress.
Oh, you were going to go to Wisconsin?
Yeah. Oh, it's brand new, too. I don't remember.
I don't know how.
Sacramento?
I don't know how.
I'm
going to
say... I'm going to, like, make a weird guess.
I was surprised.
Can you give us a region?
Well, wasn't it?
Go ahead.
Go, Joe.
I don't want to give it away if you guys are
going to answer. No, go. Well, we don't know.
No.
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 No. Newsom was the deputy mayor.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, so.
So cute.
And I was surprised.
But Newsom's not gay.
No. He's not gay. He's just a super ally.
Oh,
It's not a city that I would consider to be the largest, but it is the largest. It's the thing.
Give us a region.
South.
West. New Mexico.
No, it's
that's not a city.
New Mexico, not a city.
Somewhere in New Mexico.
Evan Lowe.
It's not New Orleans, is it?
No.
Albuquerque, Santa Fe.
Does anybody know where Anise Parker is the mayor?
Absolutely not.
No. Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow.
She just, and I wanted to shoot.
That's a big city.
Elected.
Yeah. One of the largest
and
cities.
It's in Texas.
Yeah. That's
so
a big deal.
I'm sure somebody
she's been
pissed.
On CNN recently.
Oh, okay, got it.
Very that's good. Cool. Go Anise
Parker. I was thinking it was like deep south where they shouldn't have one. That's why I thought it was New Orleans.
No.
Go Mayor Parker.
So, Tyler, I have not looked up where Newport, Tennessee is in conjunction, but there is a man, they call him Judge. And a mom went in, and the judge will not allow a name change or the name to stay on the birth certificate of Messiah. So it kind of goes to this kind of religious-y thing with the courts.
Kind of a religious-y thing.
No, with the courts because his name is Messiah. And saying religious name was earned by one person. This judge said, no, it was earned by one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ.
Shut up, judge.
Oh, and not only that, but, I mean, half of the world is named Jesus.
Well, right. Thank you. That's exactly what I thought. You have, hello, Jesus.
But Messiah is a little more of a title.
Well, but thank you. It's not your name. And also, half the people in this country don't fucking believe in the Messiah, so shut up. Right.
Well, but, yeah.
but oh, not you.
There's that, Katie. Thank you for putting that out there. Woo!
Two religious listeners, we are so offended.
It is just so awful.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. So they wanted to change it, the mom, because they thought it sounded good alongside the two siblings, Micah and Mason. Apparently, no. They said that it could be Martin. He can be named Martin. It could put him
in. Named whatever the
fuck
you
they want.
Want.
Exactly. Come on. Think it about some of the most jacked up names.
But at least he gave him Martin because they have to change monograms.
And Lemangelo.
Right. There's so many.
I mean, really?
Really?
Hi, Lemangelo. How are you today? No, then again, that's
Lemangelo?
Not religious.
Is that a name?
Lemangelo and Larangelo.
Oh, I hate those parents.
Thank you.
I mean, like, unless they like are our friends. Do we know Lemangelo?
I know. They were actually two. The only reason I know of that story is because our friend Gary Miller, who is a flight attendant for Southwest, actually had a woman and her two children on a flight, and that was their name on a ticket. Lemangelo and Orangelo. Yep. Orange Jello, Lemon Jello.
Yep. And Aaron, as a teacher, has run into that. Yeah.
Why?
It's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
and there's always room for Jello. I understand that.
Yeah. I mean, what do you look up when you see in a hospital? Jello. Messiah was number four among the fastest rising baby names in 2012, which that I was
fastest
like, what?
That's really pushing
kind
it.
Kind of pushing it. But anyway, he's now going to go by Martin instead, which, you know, it comes down to the idea of
is he black? I've forgotten about
he
this.
He is black.
Oh, so he's going to go by Martin.
That's right. What a Martin.
Martin.
Damn,
Martin.
Gina.
Martin.
Damn, Gina.
What's your name?
I'm over here. Yeah. Well, it looks like, according to my legend here, it's just slightly north and east of Pigeon Forge.
Okay. Yeah, this judge was saying that the name could cause problems if the child grows up in this, it looks like Coke County. Which
Coke
has a lot
of
CO, well, I, it might be Cock County.
COCH?
COCKE.
Could be Cock County.
Could be Cock County.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, it has a large Christian population.
Of course,
so really,
of course it does.
Apparently, the judge is looking out for little Messiah Martin.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting, putting religion
just
into
north
like
on 73 and east on the 168, and you'll be downtown
73.
Newport.
There you have it.
Tyler, I'll help you get there.
There's that.
Go there and call the black kid Messiah. Just pick one.
Why wouldn't you?
Why not?
Of course. Well, we're going to go across the pond again because, you know, there's nothing quite like doing news out of the ordinary from outside of the United States because Florida can't take up all of our time. I have another headline that I'm going to tell you in a few minutes about this, but we're going to do this story, and then Joe is going to say a couple things, and then we're going to move on to our next segment. So I will clear us up with this story at the end of the headline segments. No car, no sex. That's the rule for an experiment.
That's fair. Yeah. That was my high school rule. That's,
absolutely. It's under my yearbook photo.
You should have moved to Zurich because the rule, that's the rule for an experiment. Zurich is launching on Monday to make prostitution less of a public nuisance and safer for prostitutes everywhere. Oh, Switzerland has long been famous for its mountaineering.
I love a euphemism.
Chocolate and precision washes, but a lesser known a lesser known aspect is its legal prostitution since 1942, for which its largest city is one of the main centers for prostitution in Europe.
Boom. Heard of drive-ins for movies, but what about drive-ins for sex? That's the idea behind the so-called sex boxes, which made their debut in Zurich, Switzerland, Monday. They're small, garage-like structures designed to keep prostitutes safe and were built after voters approved a referendum on them more than a year ago. Prostitution is legal in Switzerland, and CNN reports prostitutes are taxed because the government considers them self-employed, which apparently leads many prostitutes to open streets, something the government is trying to steer away from, starting with the new sex boxes. Sky News reports there are clearly defined rules. Clients must be older than 18, one to a car. Each box also has an alarm bell to keep the prostitutes safe. Security will be placed outside the complex housing the drive-in. Clients also aren't allowed to leave with the prostitutes during business hours, 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. Yes. Potential clients who solicit sex not within approved zones could be subject to a fine. Overall, the project cost more than $2.5 million.
What zone am I allowed to have sex in? What chakra do you want to fuck?
Is it a titty fucker? Like, is that the zone you're interested in?
Can you imagine, like, you start moving around in the car and you accidentally kick the alarm? No, false alarm, false alarm.
This was along the scrawl of CNN, like all last night and this morning.
No, this story was?
Yeah. But I couldn't get where it was coming from. Like, I kept catching the end of it with the boxes and the healthcare keep them all in the same place.
One of the things that I thought was interesting, the story says you have to be 18 years or older. I don't know if that's the age you can own a car. I'm not sure what that fucking is. But it says here, in Switzerland, anyone who works in the sex trade industry must be at least 16, the legal age of sexual maturity in Switzerland. The income is taxed and subject to social insurance just like any other economic activity. But to show up and participate in one of these people, you have to be 18, but you can be 16 to go on the market. But if you're gonna
carry the three,
carry the one, right. keep your feet off the headboard the headliner.
You just can't see face to face.
Oh, you have to do face to face.
That's right.
Got it. Who gets to sit on the hump?
I do.
Whatever. What wet spot?
Fuck that. Oh, okay. Joseph, my friend, would you do me a favor, Al, and hand that over to Mr. DeGanzik as we are coming up on what is about to be, we're already past the hour mark on our show. I can't tell right now what the way the clock is.
But technically we aren't.
Do you need that?
Oh, why not?
Oh, well, now you want it. You missed the goddamn headline segment with headphones. Now you want a goddamn headphone set.
So I know if I'm hearing myself.
Oh, you will. What the hell is that, Marnie? Very
just
nice.
Throwing things away.
Give me a level check on that mic, would you there, Joseph?
There we go.
There we are. So why the hell are you here?
I just magically thought you might have a technical problem.
Thank you for that, because I think when we move to Studio C, I'm going to eliminate a few of these little apparatuses that should be choke points
apparati,
for future.
Yes.
Yes.
I guess we've had to convince everyone, because there was misinformation that went out on other shows about, the whole place is closing down. No. The network is not closing down. So it's kind of like, I've been here since the beginning, since I started the damn thing. And obviously I was here at the beginning of your show. And so it's the changing of the guard with your show now moving to Studio C. We just keep moving studios. It's like, we have had more studios, I think, than any other broadcast network in the history.
But I've made a decision in reference to Studio C. You know how everything that the president gets in or flies in is automatically Air Force One?
Right.
I don't care where we go ever again.
It's Studio C.
Always going to be Studio
C. Makes good sense.
Yeah. So when we finally get to Rockefeller Center for this show.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Tina Fey's producing it. It'll be much funnier.
Well, we have writers.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So I just thought I would be here for a little while. And, you know, it's funny. I haven't listened or watched the show since I've moved to Tempe and so forth. I've been super busy. And I'm just like, my God, you guys are just so funny. It's so great. This seems to be like my Tuesday night entertainment.
Maybe writing.
You know, and also, you know, this is a little change for me as well, going from, you know, what I've been an H-list celebrity to now just going back to being
an
a normal, just a normal.
Is there an H? Does it go the alphabet? Go that far?
I
thought it ended with the D-list with Griffin, but Kathy. But okay, goes further down.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Good to know. Good to know.
Anyways, but I'm going to be just, you know, doing a lot less, obviously, and having to find some things to do with my own free time. But you guys have led the network in downloads and numbers since you started, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we
and
are.
I think you're going to continue, even though
awesome.
Temporarily you're going to be about the only show on the network.
We are.
That makes you it easier to win.
Well, that's right.
You guys I'm all about that kind of competition.
Now, we will be the only live.
The only live
is that
show.
Right? But we're not the only
correct.
Show.
No,
there
I
will
mean,
be. You no, can download.
Actually, I don't think that's correct. Isn't Equality Radio, Randall out of San Luis Obispo is
still
live.
Doing live.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Weekdays.
Good.
And then the Agenda and Working It Out are going to come back after a hiatus. And, you know, if other shows want to continue, the thing that we're going to do is we're going to continue providing the online resources, which is the cheapest thing of the network.
Right.
So that we can still enable other LGBT podcasters
awesome.
And radio people to do their thing. And it makes it less stressful and, you know, technical on their end to do it. So if you can record your voice,
right.
we can support
in
you.
In this day and age, I mean, Al was a prime example, even as loaded as he was. The other night, he recorded a video with his iPad and
that.
Put it right on.
That was awesome.
That was a very...
It literally takes 5 seconds.
Right. Well, hello.
All I did was center it so that the ceiling fan was directly over my head and looked like a headdress.
And
that
it was
the only
was,
retake.
You were talking slower than you did during the disclaimer. I was like, wow, this is like
more
slow-mo.
Oh, that was... It was so funny. But again, really... Really, if you can get a laptop or an iPad or whatever, if you can record a video, if you can figure out how to do your own thing, you can upload it. That's part of how podcasting even began.
It did.
Sure.
So we're adjusting to meet the demands of the market and all that stuff.
And I think
stuff.
It's smarter. You have the room. Why rent out another?
Right. Why have a space?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you have a space already, like,
right.
why go looking?
Right.
And outside of that, the only thing, I guess I already have talked ad nauseum, but to the community, just, you know, continue to support these kind of ventures. It takes the community supporting these things beyond listenership, getting involved and really pursuing it. And that's the only thing I'll say. And we would have loved to continue the studio complex. It was filled with people last night with Ophelia's last show, and they did a great show at the end. And, you know, so we're moving, we're changing. But again, the community continue to support Q-Talk America.
And we especially are not going anywhere. My hope is that for next week when we are live in a Studio C, that it will look very similar to what you're seeing right now
minus a window, probably.
Right.
You can put in a virtual window.
Well, actually, the roommate has a big fucking window. But
and I'm bringing in all kinds of leftover baked goods that don't go at Palmer's birthday party.
Yay.
Yeah, and I'm like really baking the shit out of some stuff. So get ready for that.
Wow. Though that won't have any effect on what your audio experience will be, I appreciate you bringing it.
It's actually a really good point.
Did I hear bacon?
I should have kept that internal.
I'm actually starving right now.
Wait, baked goods?
Did I hear bacon involved?
I didn't know, but I could make it happen.
Oh, I appreciate it. No, I thought there was bacon and
I'm
going to
try. Now, challenge accepted.
Ah, there you go. Oh, yeah, fuck your diet on that one. There's that one, Missy.
All right. Well, I'm done.
Well, good night.
Dan.
Well, we thank you for that.
That's it.
And with that, Joe left the studio to never return.
And scene.
Very nice. Well, Joseph, thank you for the opportunity. We will continue
thank
on
you.
And do you proud done. From another, well, almost undisclosed location. It's the show with Clayton McKee. We are coming up on, well, we're way past the end of hour one. Hour two starting momentarily. We're going to continue on. Drinking Word coming up. Also, some entertainment with Al. Katie's got some sports or politics or some lesbian news. I'm not sure what the fuck it is. It doesn't really matter.
And Harrison, there's a link to the video. Harrison hasn't seen any of my videos.
Oh, but I figured out what the audio problem was, and I fixed it, so I text her.
Oh, Harrison, the audio's fixed, too.
There's that. We'll be back. It's the show on Q Talk America. We'll be back in just moments. Bye, stick around.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening. It's the beginning. We're running a little tardy, but it's the beginning of hour two on this Tuesday night, coming to you live from Studio B in Q-Talk Plaza in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. It's The Show. We're here every Tuesday night, 7 to 10, and we'll continue to do so until further notice. I'm in studio right now. Katie June is mixing a drink in Studio A. Katie June. There's hi, Katie.
Never wrong.
I almost said Mariah. Marnie Ryer.
That's me.
I've become Al.
I answered anything.
Cookies, crackers, what do we got? I'm starving.
Something to snack on. Oh, some grapes?
Yeah, all right.
We don't have time to make them into wine, Al. Sorry.
We're pressed for time here. Eat the grapes.
And Al Perkins, of course, is here, just returning from a lovely stint in Los Angeles, where he enjoyed a few restful days with his friend Harrison, who may or may not still be listening once I fix the audio stream for her. Coming up in this hour, as we do the second hour of every show, we have a drinking game, the Dr. Drew's Death Den. Also, Katie's going to have some sports stuff. Al, she's waving a snack. She's waving a snack.
Do you want that?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. There's that. He doesn't give a shit. clearly, he doesn't give a shit. I'm sure he doesn't.
Eat the rest of them. I have more.
No, too much sugar. I got
to. Okay.
Too much sugar? Okay, we'll go with it.
I start to go, blah, blah,
blah. Oh, whatever that is. So coming up also, Katie, like I said, Katie June's got some stuff. Hour three, Thoughtful Vulgarity. Oh, she brought some ice cream. Oh, I'm going to get the ice cream in a minute, too, for me. So we got less to do. Do we do disclaimer first, or do you want to go right into your... I mean, we might as well do a disclaimer first, for God's sakes.
Yeah, do the disclaimer. We're so organized.
Yeah, this week is fucking all up.
I just said less sugar, and then I'm like, sure, like a pint of ice cream?
We'll take
not?
That now. Yeah, do that. Who gives a shit? I hope things go much better for us next week. I'm sure they will.
I know.
We're already establishing we're gonna have guest cooks, guest bartenders, because we have a full kitchen at the new studio. We have so many things, and you guys get to leave all your stuff. The dancing with
good.
The dancing with the bars
glad
trophy
it
just stays right where it is.
Can we actually, since we're like redesigning and reimagining, can we maybe make a pedestal?
Oh, sure.
Thinking like
absolutely. I've already thought about getting a light. No. And if and depending, we might even have a trophy cam.
Oh, yes.
We can just go right.
That's funny.
Right, I like trophy cam.
In case you're wondering where it is, trophy cam.
Yep.
And then once it leaves, we'll have to have something else to put on the shelf. And maybe every week we just change out whatever.
One of the rest of y'all can go win something after this.
Oh, no. I'm just thinking of random shit you want to put in the cam. Like I have a Lucille Ball ceramic vase.
A show and tell.
Put that up for,
it's a show and tell.
That would be. I think that would be. That would be particularly fun. I think that would be fun. Well, let's do what we. Oh, I got to hit another button. I am off. I'm so off on this whole goddamn diet. So
just a bunch of friends sitting around.
So yeah, that's good. Sure, sir. So making our
with a lot of electronics.
Making mediocre radio, ladies and gentlemen.
At best. Anyway, here we go.
And now a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Fucking train wreck is going to be our drink.
We can save the other one for next week.
Yeah,
you know, Jeff, we're trying to figure it out.
Because that's where we are.
Yeah, well, I just because Tyler said we were still more organized than the VMAs, and I'm like, well, they were a fucking train.
That was right. There's that. By the way, Harrison has rejoined us. She was out of it for just a minute because I realized that we had an issue on our end, but I fixed that. So welcome back, Harrison, as she joins us from the wonderful Los Angeles, California. And at this time, I think we'll do this, Al, just for you.
Entertainment! Well, the VMAs happened and no one really cared. Because we're not really an award show. And that's not my list. But I do it every week. So Wentworth Miller comes out in protest of the Russians.
Oh my God.
Ben Affleck will be the next Batman, for real. Linda Ronstadt can no longer sing. Julie Harris is dead.
She can't.
The butler cleans up at the box office again.
Of course he did.
And the right wing demands that... I'll start with this one. So an anti-gay activist calls for Shep Smith to come out.
Oh, Shepard Smith from Fox News?
Cliff Kincaid and his fellow anti-gay loons at the conservative group America's Survival Incorporated. Really?
Go kill yourself.
That's
at
dramatic.
Least it doesn't have values or love in the
that
name.
That sounds like
but
a
it
fucking
has survival.
Train wreck. It's even worse.
Turns out he reads Out Magazine and saw that Fox News' Shepard Smith is on our gay power list. Now they're demanding he either come out. Now that he needs to come out. And Cliff Kincaid is quoted as saying, I don't know about you, but if I was listed as one of the most powerful homosexuals in the media, I would demand a retraction and probably sue for defamation and collect a lot of money. Shepard Smith, according to my information, has never asked that to be taken down. He's been one of Out Magazine's most powerful media homosexuals for several years in a row.
Wow.
Yes, he has.
Makes sense.
Kincaid is also worried that Fox News is becoming homosexual propaganda. Has he watched it?
I hate this man.
Seriously.
My God. What we want to know is why Kincaid is reading Out Magazine.
Right. There's
oh, my God. Yeah. Good point.
You just got to keep up.
You got to know what your enemies are.
That is
right
why.
Now.
That is why all of those Republicans that are out there that are so against us—if we can't see somebody, you can't fuck them.
They're watching
all these people because they read all the publications so they can be in the know of what our agenda.
Suck a dick now and then, just
to make sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Make sure.
But the funny part of the story is, I don't think it's a surprise that Shep Smith is gay. I don't think there's anybody left that doesn't know.
Well, you and I have inside information on this very topic. You and I do.
Yeah, but I mean, you can watch him and figure it out.
Poor Shepard has really been pulled.
And he really is their only news person. So everyone else is an opinion show. He's the only person that does any kind of news.
Seidel thinks he is so handsome.
Really?
Best friend, she is
I think he's
love
super,
with
super
I'm worried about her mental stability now.
I'm telling you.
I think he's a little creepy.
Uh-huh. I do, too.
Yeah, that's where it ends on me, too. It's creepy.
Yeah, no, you
I'll let
agree.
You know that right
there. Uh-huh. Okay, so and now we're in that season. August is the dead zone for movies.
Yep.
So this is where they dump everything.
And why is that?
The summer's over. Everybody's going back to school. About 13 years ago, the Toronto Film Festival kind of changed the rules of how they start to campaign for Oscars. So everybody waits for their premiere at the Toronto Film Festival, get some good press, and then they start dumping the Oscar bait out, depending on how much they think, how much money they can make without a nominated for 6 Academy Awards you need the press for the nomination, so you want to for your consideration.
But that's really
kind
interesting
of
because
in a
the
world
Butler came out in a, didn't the Butler just come out?
Yeah,
right. And this is in that dead zone that they make this. So here's this movie made for, let me just check, because this is my new thing for this year, is all these big budget movies that keep tanking. But the Butler was made for $30 million. It's already at $53 million. It probably won't do a lot of overseas business. It's not that kind of a movie.
It's not really an overseas story.
It's not really an overseas
story.
I still
want to see that. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
It's already made its money back and doubled it. So even with advertising, this movie's solid. Second week at number one.
And it still is being in – it's still going to be in contention for
– Oh, of course. Right. What I'm saying is people are getting smart now, and this is where The Help came out. They list all the movies that they've dumped into August the last couple years because everybody knows no one's swimming in this pond. Let's throw a good movie in there.
And everyone's going to see it.
You've seen every city in the world blow up. You've seen the president chased down by every kind of robot.
Ugh.
How about an adult movie for the people whose kids went back to school? It's genius counter-programming that somebody finally realized this third week of August is just sitting there ripe for the plucking.
Right.
Though it used to be early May was the one that used to be a dead zone, and then all of a sudden everybody realized – it's kind of early summer. Let's put a blockbuster there. Yeah. And about 5 years ago, huge movie started coming out. And they would one tentpole would come out in early May and kind of carry the rest of the end of the spring.
May I adjust?
Yeah.
I saw The Butler.
What'd you think?
I saw a movie before she did.
Yeah.
And
before me, too.
Well, that, I know. Not that's, really that's not as surprising.
Right.
But the idea that I thought that was a very good thing, because I usually look up and go, yeah, I don't know.
You're behind the times on the movies.
Yeah, a lot.
Which I used to be more until I met my friend here.
Yeah, so what'd you think?
Your
I thought
friend
it was brilliant.
Here.
Yeah?
I really enjoyed it a lot, especially the son's role. Of course, I'm going to screw that up.
Uh-huh.
No, because I can't. I certainly can't think of his real name, but his character was.
It's not Charlie. Charlie's a younger brother. His name is. Blah, blah, blah.
Are you talking about the rebellious son?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it just, and I was watching it through different eyes because of what Al had said last week. But I agree with you completely about Oprah.
Amazeballs.
Really?
So
I was like, okay.
That scene at the dinner table, she is not Oprah. That is an actress.
But I mean, there were like so many different
colors and shades.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Really great.
My parents saw it on their anniversary before they went out to dinner. And my mom had said afterwards, maybe this wasn't the best like anniversary date night movie. Right. But they loved it. But they were like, this isn't totally what the vibe we were going for.
You don't want to kiss afterwards.
Right. But Kelly went,
I don't know.
But they
I
loved
thought it.
It
was very, very, the it. End I thought was very sweet.
Kelly went to go see it with her mom and her brother. And her mom cried through almost all the movie. Kelly said she was really emotional through a lot of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And her thing was, I lived through a lot of this time.
Good point.
And coming from a totally white privileged perspective makes me, she just really felt like seeing this movie, it was the right time in her life. She was in the right mental state. Like when she watched this movie, she's like, she felt guilt. She felt embarrassed. She felt, she felt empathy, sympathy, like all of these different emotions because she felt like these are my people doing this to their people. Like
now, is she from Western New York? Mm-hmm. Kelly's mom? Yeah. So, and racism exists there, but you're living in the North. And the news comes on about these freedom riders. And, of course, there's been all this stuff with in the 50s with the Brown versus the Board of Education, the governor doing the National Guard to keep students in or out, depending on what time of day it was. No. But here you're watching, like, the freedom riders, and you're watching the fire hoses being taken to U.S. citizens. And I think the entire nation watched the evening news going, what country is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think
I think that was the thing is in everyone's mind, they're thinking, where is this happening? You know what I mean?
Because it can't be happening
when
here.
And when it sunk in that you're like, oh, sweet Jesus, that's our country?
Our own people.
And I think that's what woke up the nation is when it came on the national news.
Yeah. Sure. And that's what, and yes, the national news was playing then, but when Kelly's mom, for whatever reason, she saw this movie seem to really strike a chord with the plight that African Americans were going through. Yeah, yes.
I'm doing my math right. She was.
She's in her late 60s.
Yeah, so 50 years ago is the I Had a Dream speech.
Yeah, exactly.
50 years ago tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right.
So you figured she was a teenager through all that, and she's being raised in this world of not knowing it existed.
White privilege. That's how my mom is going to feel big time when she's.
And they didn't really get it, but. An interesting reaction from her.
Yeah, it just didn't exist. And then the number two movie still in making a fortune again on a small budget is We're the Millers.
I hate it. I literally hate it.
That movie was so funny. Have you seen it?
No, but I hate Jennifer Aniston movies.
Oh, my God. That movie is fucking funny. It's not a romantic comedy in any way, shape, or form. It is.
It's fantastic.
Giggly, laugh out loud, funny. Like the lowest.
Like,
I got
should
was
I
a giggle.
Smoke some weed before I go see it?
I was not stoned when I saw it, and I never got lower than a giggle. I just laughed through the entire thing.
Well.
They know they get the R rating because somebody smokes. The minute you smoke pot, you have an R rating.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. So you just go with it. So from then on, cocksuckers
on the table. So just go for
that.
Just go for that.
Once you earn your R rating, just go for blood. All of a sudden, you can bleed anywhere you want to. Like, there's nothing. Just don't show a pee-pee.
I'm telling Kelly I'm in. She's going to be so excited.
Oh, my God. It's just stupid, stupid fun.
I feel like it's breaking news all of a sudden for Katie. Katie's going to see the Millers.
Tyler and Harrison are going back and forth about drive-ins and all that kind of stuff in the chat room. Mm-hmm. And Tyler had said that... Tyler had said that E.T. and the Goonies, and you said you haven't seen all the way through? I own that movie. I'll bring it over. You can see it all the way through.
I'm just a little too old for the Goonies. That's one of those movies that's just a little...
Okay.
I'm just a little too old for.
I love that movie. But that's where I saw The Butler, actually. They were talking about drive-in theaters, and Aaron took me on a date to
You went to
drive-in.
A drive-in?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
And it was a surprise. All of a sudden, I'm like, what? So
where
cool.
in town? The one in Scottsdale?
Glendale.
Glendale.
Scottsdale's closed.
Oh, I didn't realize
Scottsdale's
that.
Scottsdale's closed.
The one on the Scottsdale Tempe border that finally closed? Oh, that's a shame.
There's nothing there. I mean, it's overgrown and whatever.
So where is the drive-in in Glendale, Arizona?
55th Avenue and Bethany Home.
Yeah, it's been the original.
Forever.
I think it's the first. I think it's a very first drive-in ever.
Idea.
And it was so fun to kind of drive up and be like, wait a minute. Yeah, it just took me back
to the
day.
I had no idea there was a drive-in there. 55th Ave and Beth.
But it's funny now because, you know, they used to do the, you know, put the thing on your window and you're listening.
Oh, now it comes to your stereo.
Now it comes to your radio, but a lot of cars have lights that don't turn off. Right? When you have them on. And, I mean, granted, you can pull them on and off, and you have to kind of do the screwball thing. But there are a lot of cars, including ours, where the lights stayed on. And you could tell the car in front of us was like, what the hell? We're trying to watch a movie. So turn the lights on and off. But then the car also shuts off.
After so long.
Yeah. And then the radio goes, and it was like, oh, for God's sake. So it was very funny.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
The technology now, was very funny.
About 20 years ago, it used to be fun to drive by the one in Scottsdale because when you drove by,
you could see
it. Listen. So I would drive by and like put the channel on, and you could listen to one of the six movies that was playing.
Absolutely.
Because I'd look at the screen and be like, oh, I want to hear a little bit of that.
Right.
We're the Millers, another one, made for $37 million. As Hollywood's going broke, making $195 million movies.
I heard that.
Yeah, and they're just, everything's tanking. Like, no one's going to see these movies except for, you know, Man of Steel, Star Trek. So here's Jennifer Aniston, smart enough to make a $37 million movie about smuggling pot where she plays a stripper, and it's just goofy fun. It's made $115 million worldwide already. So they've already made $100 million profit.
That's amazing.
So is your concern and your hate of, and I'm going to use
She doesn't like rom-coms. We've already established
that. Is it the rom-com?
Or it's
is
rom-com.
It you just don't like Rachel and you didn't ever like Rachel?
I loved Rachel.
Okay.
And I love Jennifer Aniston, and I literally pay a dollar extra for the smart water bottle because I want to look like her. I bought a vino. I haven't used a vino since I was like 13.
This is another diet.
Bought it.
The Jennifer Aniston smart water.
I literally bought it at the store last week. Vino, because that bitch is now endorsing it, so I'm on.
Yeah,
okay. It's her movie.
So it's the
movie. Yeah, okay. But my problem is Katherine Heigl. I won't get if Katherine
I hate
Heigl,
her also.
Katherine Heigl raises her hand, I sit down. I'm like, nah, I can't.
I'm not into her either. Mm-hmm. It's rom coms. It's that.
Right,
it's the
the genre.
But I will say,
but
I don't
do kind of make it about Jennifer Aniston.
That's all she does.
You'll forgive her. Just see the Good Girl. And you'll all of a sudden see a new side of her.
And it's just like, and I think the reason that it's her is because Kelly thinks she's like the most amazing actress. Like Kelly literally is like, Jennifer Aniston is amazing. And
I
just,
would never do that.
So I have to be the antithesis of that because
agreed,
I hate
you would never do that.
All of her movies. So I'm like, well, I hate her. It's just, it's ingrained. Yep,
yep. I didn't see the movie about the dead dog. I wouldn't go
I
see that.
I also didn't.
Yeah, I had no interest to watch a dog die over two
hours.
Oh,
wait a minute.
You saw that movie. Don't even pretend you didn't.
I did because I read the book first.
Yeah.
And I cried like a baby.
I did not know. It's doggy death porn. I don't need to watch
Marley and Me?
Yeah, watch a dog die.
I never saw that.
Hours.
Or Where the Red Fern Grows.
The book,
that. I'm
way
not,
better.
Nothing.
Mm-mm. Okay, so it was announced at Comic-Con this year that there was going to be a Batman versus Superman movie.
Right.
And this is a big fucking deal because these movies make a lot of money.
It has been a big deal.
Spend $200 million and they make about $800 million in profit.
Right.
So that money comes back. So who would play the new Batman? Because Christian Bale has said he's done. The only way he would even consider it is if Christopher Nolan came back as director, not just producer, but he wanted the brother to write. He wanted Christopher Nolan to direct. This was not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan has other dreams. He needs to make more movies for me. So out of nowhere, not Oscar-nominated director, Ben Affleck has stepped in for reals as Batman. And it's just, it's a shocking turn of events because I really didn't think his career was going the way of this. But you figure he's going to get like a $50 million payday if he gets a minute out of it because I'm sure he's got a good agent by now.
Sure.
He's going to make enough movie to bankroll any fucking thing he wants to make for the rest of his life. Like this is that Sandra Bullock holding studios hostages to get her career where she...
Wait, she does that?
Oh, yeah. She did it right away. As soon as Speed was a hit,
she's
like, I'll do Speed 2 for you people.
I just read
I'm
this.
In. Yeah. I'm in. But you're going to finance Hope Floats.
Yep.
You're
going
to make this little movie over here. You're going to help me get the George Lopez show off the air.
Yep.
I've got an empire
off
to
the
run.
Air.
No,
on
air.
On air.
Off the ground.
The George Lopez sitcom was produced. That was her baby. Created.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was all her.
Oh, okay. I remember the first time I saw her name
And
on
she
it.
Held everybody hostage. Yeah. She's like, you want Speed 2? Here's the demand.
Wait, side note. I just read an article and said, what's the difference between Speed 1 and Speed 2? And Speed 1, she made
a lot.
Speed 1, she made $500,000. Speed 2, she made $12,500,000. She made $12 million more.
Plus, she got an apartment at Paramount or whoever did that, and she got anything she wanted. She, and Hope Floats was the
and
movie.
And Speed 2, was it a bomb?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, she didn't care.
I mean, didn't watch it.
And you can tell when you watch that movie that no one cares. You can pick the moment where they're all like, all right, we're done.
Yeah. Jason Patrick, it's really awful. Like, it really
But
is
she
awful.
Held everyone hostage, and God bless her, and got an empire
Smart.
Going.
And I, and made all and those... I actually I am a Sandy Bullock fan.
And yeah, she's the queen of the $20 million movie that makes $120
million. Not the rom-coms. I don't see those.
I was just going to say, she makes mostly rom-coms, so I don't know how to break this to you.
But I do really like her, especially after I liked the movie about the football player, the black football player, and then Jesse James dumped her, and then I was like really emotionally involved with her. It was a whole thing.
I will tell you that I walked out of The Blind Side.
He's a
and
prick.
I probably didn't go see it with anybody because I rarely go see movies with other people. But I looked to the stranger to my right and I said, if this movie makes $5 this weekend, that's an Oscar. Oh, and they were like, do you think she'd get an Oscar? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All this movie has to do is get any kind of box office clout. And the guy, I can't remember who was sitting next to me, was like, really? I'm like, Oscar winning. Yeah. That we got it.
Yeah.
So that's my Oprah thing. And now that that's number 1 2 weeks in a row.
Sure, sure.
That's my Anne Hathaway calling.
You're good.
Like, an Oscar. She won the Oscar.
Right.
And, well, and I'll even tell you what clip they'll play. She's going to slap that motherfucker in that clip.
Ooh, I can't wait.
You're right. For the clip.
The hard part when I heard the Batman thing, because I'm not a, I'm going to run out and see the Batman movie.
Oh, or God.
I'm
also not an action movie.
I like, Marvel. I don't mind them, like if I'm coming out on DVD and this and that, but I'm probably not going to go to the theater to see it. On the other hand, back in the day when I was working a job with, where we were able to sit down and kind of watch movies and hang out and whatnot.
Sounds like a good job.
It really was fun.
Yeah, I love it.
And Daredevil came out. And isn't that the one with Ben Affleck that was so fucking god-awful?
Oh, Daredevil was terrible. Terrible, 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 terrible.
So you played a blind superhero in Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
weird.
Awful.
That does sound awful. Just the premise of it.
Kelly probably loved it.
She loves superhero stuff. Right? Me too, but she not this. This was awful.
I'm gonna ask her real quick.
Idea, I think that's where a lot
she's
of people.
She's not listening, so.
Well, I read the fanboy pages. They hate everything.
Right.
Everything is cool. They're like hipsters. Everything's cool for like 5 minutes, and then it's only cool ironically.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You only have two choices. Yeah, it's very strange.
I hate that.
But that's where the stir-up was, supposedly, because people were very anti.
They're anti-everything. They're anti-Christian Bale because he's British.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Or he's, I think he's British. I can't remember if he's British
Something.
Or Irish.
No.
And, you know, they're anti-Christopher Nolan because what did he know about a big-budget movie? And now he's made like...
Then six movies
that have made $1 billion. Yeah,
sure.
They're fucktards. So now...
Help me figure that out.
The big story... Now, they are really pushing this. And I don't know why, because it gets good ratings. So I don't know why they're pushing this hard. But American Horror Story Coven, they finally said the release date or the premiere date. It's October 9th at 10 p.m. on TNT. The cast sounds fantastic. Everything about this sounds like... And it sounds like it's not going to be true horror like the first one... Or, like, psychological terror, like, the second season. It seems like we're going a whole different direction with, like, witchcraft and women's issues. I'm really kind of curious to see what he does with this.
I liked the real authentic horror of the first one over the second one.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that first
season. Yeah, because I'm a horror groupie. So that first
one
was...
And I'm not, but it was just
sheer terror, yeah. And it got a man in leather. And now, to add to the long list of Oscar winners and Oscar nominees and all these people, Angela Bassett is now going to be in... This coven.
Say what?
I know. I mean, seriously, I think I'm the only person not in this show.
For your consideration.
Yeah. And let me go to my link. And yes, Tyler, I'm trying to read with you guys, but I can't do both. Okay, so I'll go to the link here. Wentworth Miller, who I guess this was one of those people that everyone but me...
thought was gay?
Knew was gay.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I guess it's like one of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood again. Mm. It's the Anderson Cooper event of the season. But I was not aware, and I thought he was kind of cute. Mm-hmm. And it turns out he's gay, and he was invited to be on the panel of a Russian film festival in the city the St. Petersburg. I didn't realize I guess I'm a little behind on the times, too. I didn't realize they had changed it back to St. Petersburg from Leningrad. And he said no.
Never knew it was Leningrad, actually.
Yeah, it has been St. Petersburg for like 100 years.
Fantastic.
So somewhere after the fall, they changed it back. Yep. But I did not get the official memo. Because communism doesn't come with religion. Communism is your God.
Perfect.
That's why the Christians are very against it.
I'm more on board with it now than I was 5 minutes ago.
So he came out on GLAAD's website. He is deeply troubled by the current attitude toward the treatment of gay men and women by the Russian government. This situation is in no way acceptable. I cannot in good conscience participate in a celebratory occasion hosted by a country where people like myself are being systematically denied their basic rights to love and live openly. Just shocking. So here, and then I was like, well, what have you done for me lately? Well, it turns out the movie Stoker that I was pushing, the Nicole Kidman one with the little girl, Maya, whatever her name is, from Alice in Wonderland. He is the writer. He wrote it and co-produced it. Oh. So I have that in my DVR right now to watch, not my DVR, my Blu-ray. When I get home. So he is doing stuff. He's moving towards more of a writing career. And that Stoker got okay reviews. Turns out it was a remake of an Alfred Hitchcock, so they're getting a little trouble. I don't even want to know what this headline means. Pat Robertson has some absurdly offensive ideas about how AIDS spreads. Maybe we'll save that for later.
We have to probably get an audio clip on that one for next week to find out what that fucktard's doing.
Jesus Christ. And
he's in Tennessee.
One of these people that is hugely talented and just always bubbling under the consciousness, like never a name, somehow never a name, but a huge actress died last week. Julie Harris, winner of 5 Tony Awards, 3 Emmy Awards, a Grammy Award, nominated for an Academy Award, has the National Medal of Arts, a member of the American Theater Hall of Fame, and received a Special Achievement Tony Award. Mm-hmm. And people probably couldn't pick her out of a lineup.
James Dean. She was in a movie with James Dean.
Yes, she was. She was in East of Eden with Requiem for a Heavyweight, Harper, Reflections in a Golden Eye. But my favorite with her, and it is absolutely the goofiest fucking movie, is House Sitter with Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin, where she plays Steve Martin's mother.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And she is just a hoot and a holler for that whole fucking movie. Nope. So if you want to get in on something light with her. But she died. The Kennedy Center Honors tribute to her in 2005 was really lovely. And she was just a lovely, lovely, classy woman. And died, and I just thought, I'm like, this woman, and I didn't know that she had 5 Tonys. I thought she had 2 or 3, and I'm like, and her list of theater credits, we don't even have the 3 hours to tell you everything that she is the original person from. But the big one is I Am a Camera, which is the long, tortured story of Christopher, whatever his name was, that wrote the books, the Berlin stories, that became I Am a Camera, that became Cabaret, the movie, but it's all Christopher Isherwood is the author that lived in Berlin, and he invented the character. He lived with Sally Bowles, who was a trashy entertainer that was played by so many people. But the original London production of Cabaret is how we get Dame Judi Dench. That was her big claim to fame. And in the 50s, the I Am a Camera was Julie Harris playing the role of Sally Bowles. So it's one of those characters that's been around forever. And I think it's called People Like Us is the
People like us.
People Like Us was a really interesting movie about Christopher Isherwood and his friends, and it tells you the story of his actual experience more closely related to his diaries than how it was dramatized later, like how he met Sally Bowles, who really owned the flop house and stuff. So that's a really cool gay movie that's out. Mm. And then in sad news, Linda Ronstadt, who I always call, the cunt, because she's so fucking talented and the entire world is in love with her, and like, they've changed the way the world works to make accommodate her. Well, now I can't make fun of her anymore. She has Parkinson's and is, according to her, is no longer able to sing. So that one of the most beautiful voices.
Yep. I mean, absolutely.
It's a loss like Julie Andrews, as far as I'm concerned.
Agree.
One of the purest instruments.
I should really know something that she sings.
You're no good, baby, you're no good.
Yeah. I'm gonna say it again.
She did You're No Good, Heart's Like a Wheel.
There's
she did
so
Blue
many.
Bayou.
Yeah, Blue Bayou.
But I know
how does that go?
I'm going back someday, come what may, to Blue Bayou.
Beautiful.
Mostly, you actually sound really good doing that song as well.
The rendition I did does not do any of it justice. Mm-hmm. Even Roy Orbison's version.
But you have a really good voice.
Thanks. I hide it a lot.
I don't know if I've actually ever heard you sing.
Probably not. Well, we'll go out sometime to karaoke and drink, and then we'll do
singing. Yeah, and then all you'll hear is
singing songs.
Ethel Merman.
That's, oh yeah, that's true. I can true. Do that too, but I can, yeah. No, being the voice active acrobat that I am, I can do
oh,
many.
But she did mostly remakes, and she did a lot of Elvis. Not Elvis. Well, she did Elvis Costello. Later, she ran out of people to don't steal know from.
And what did you just sing?
With, oh, that's right. With Aaron well, yeah. Neville.
Don't
Aaron
know much, Neville. But I know I hate this song.
Oh,
yeah.
I
hate that. With Feivel.
I love that.
Oh, she does the Feivel song, too.
That's right. Oh, under one. Yeah.
Somewhere out there.
Somewhere out there, yeah. It was, oh, yeah. Plus, she does the album with the Dolly Parton and Emmylou Harris.
What was that called? Songbirds? Song? It's yeah, because they showed a picture of the three of them.
Oh,
I forgot.
It's really a great
album.
It's really good. That's good. Yeah. Really, really beautiful.
While we're talking music, can we take a quick second to talk about Donna Summer Live and More?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Because
just a second.
Well, that may take the rest of the time of the show because once we get on that.
You posted, Clayton, that you had turned it on.
Absolutely.
And you were listening.
It wound up being an all goddamn day, every song she's ever done, marathon.
Oh, well, get this. Yeah. So I had downloaded on the before I went home last week. Right. I forgive me for not knowing all the names, but and this is a song I know. This is the big song at the end, right before the 17-minute MacArthur Park Last Dance. So I downloaded that. I listened to it on the way home.
I know, and your sister doesn't know Wham, so I'm good. All right,
yeah. So I downloaded that, listened to it on the way home. It was really fun. So come the weekend, we decided that this was the weekend to like. Deep clean our house, right? I'm
okay.
talking
Why you
like
throw foam
scrub
fingers away?
Everything, like scrubbing every wall, every baseboard, like pulling everything. I mean, like a really intense clean that took the whole weekend. So on Saturday, I start in the back room and I'm like, this seems like a great time for Donna Summer Live and More. And I listened to the album all weekend and I loved it.
In chronological
in order.
I
downloaded
it. Tells
it.
The story.
I just had it repeating, but it was honest to God, you guys. It was really great. Like, I was never bored with it.
I feel
it
like we're making progress with
yes.
you.
Yes.
Oh. It was. And when she gets a rumor,
it was
all
really
about
good.
It.
I didn't write it down, but I'm going to look up my, because I had a favorite song and it's right before she says, she says, we're going to throw it back to, like...
You remember white buffs in the 50s and 60s and ponytails and high school sweaters?
And we're going to throw it... Yes!
Yeah, Love's Unkind.
It was so...
It's
my favorite song. It was my new... Yes, that was my favorite song on the whole album. But here's the best part. So the first round through...
This is sad.
The first round through... I know MacArthur Park, and it comes on, and it's way different than
Melting
the version I know. But I'm like, okay, and I was in and out of the room all day, you know, and I kept moving the computer with me. So I go out of the room, and I, like, get Palmer lunch, and I'm doing something else, and I come back in, and I'm like, oh, it's still MacArthur Park, okay. So Kelly's like, come over here. So I'm like, okay, so I leave the room again for what I felt like was 20 minutes. I'm like, yeah. I've been gone for a while. And I come back in, and I'm like, this song's really cool, and I'm kind of like, I wonder what this new song is. Still MacArthur Park.
You're in the suite.
It was real long.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because there's two other songs mixed in there, but it really is. Yeah,
right. Well, and I could tell. I didn't know it was, because I know the original MacArthur, so I... But occasionally it would come back around to the MacArthur.
That's how you get in and out of every bridge on that one.
But it was just funny because my old...
You also know you're on a live recording?
Yeah.
My old cleaning music was Phil Collins, and I used to like put on Phil Collins
Studio
Greatest Hits. I loved it.
Nothing wrong with that. I do love that a lot.
And I would dance around the house.
I do enjoy that.
My new big project music
is Live and More.
Thank you,
because it really does carry you for about an hour.
And it totally does.
It literally it does, and especially going in and out of the room and in and out from different. It, like I never got.
And it's got a rhythm section.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
She introduces her band, and Josiane brings her water, and there's so much going on.
It was really fun.
Did you get the one, not my favorite, but one of my favorites on that is when she sings to her daughter, she sings to Mimi, when she talks about the story about, I don't think you all know what it's like to have a parent that's never there.
I mean, they're always gone. I heard it, of course, but I don't know that
she sings it to me, and then she goes, Mimi, say goodnight. And she goes, no.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So that's just not one of my favorites. That's on the. I think it's the first track on the second side. Well, whatever.
The Mimi, You're Beautiful.
The second side,
Mimi, You're Mine.
Oh, God.
And that's for UNICEF. All the money for that song went to UNICEF.
Oh, yeah.
She did that for charity. So then for a current movie, so Harris and I, really cool, went to the top of a parking garage that looks
straight
at downtown with a big screen, and we went to a screening of The Warriors. There was another one of... Edward Scissorhands, but I had seen that recently.
Okay.
And
such a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. But then she was like, "But the Warriors." I'm like, "I haven't seen the Warriors since '79 or '80, whenever it came out." And I remember just being in love with it.
I don't remember that movie.
It's a gang movie. It's not really a gang movie. That says it wrong. But it was this. And it turns out it is a cult movie. It wasn't just me that's been, like, fetishizing this movie for the last 30 years. It turns out that it has a little bit of a following, that people know the Warriors come out and play the little jingle with the bottles. And I remembered, like, it having, like, really, like, hyper-stylized costumes and, like, are they a gang or a Puerto Rican dance troupe? Like, I'm really confused.
Okay.
But I had all this imagery in my head, but I couldn't really remember the specific movie. And it turns out James Remar from Dexter and Sex and the City is like this hot 20-something-year-old, one of the gang members. And Mercedes
Rule
shows up as like a child police officer. I mean, it was just bizarre. So we're on this rooftop, beautiful night, like sitting on chairs with blankets, and they had the food trucks lined up. And that was so much fun. Like,
oh, it sounds like a great time.
And the crowd was so into it. And it was like a new movie to me. I had seen it when I was 11 or 12 years old and was like...
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it really does.
It kind of reminds me of... they do movies in the park here at Park...
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. And she was expecting it to be a park, but it was like the L.A. Technical College. And so she thought there was going to be like a grassy knoll, but we went to the top of the...
parking structure.
The parking structure. So the food trucks got up there first, lined up, and the food trucks were like spectacular. We had this
so cool
cheesy thing that was just amazing. And then the movie was just really fun. It had that like 1979, like that soundtrack probably was dated about 5 minutes after they recorded it.
Right.
Very reminiscent of Giorgio Moroder's The Chase from Midnight Express. And
wow, I forgot about Midnight Express.
It was that same genre.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
Not even a clue. Yeah.
But that same genre of obviously
it's
they were
like
aping
Tokyo
Giorgio
Express,
Moroder to get the soundtrack.
It happened at midnight.
The scoring was really cool. And then we missed all the times, and the movie phone swore that this movie theater we're going to was just 11 short miles away. It was like 11 miles to get down this hill that we're on.
Oh no.
So it was a little bit further away, so our timing was all off, but we ended up seeing In a World, which wasn't our first choice of movie. And I didn't know enough about it to really recommend it and say, like, this was worth this drive through downtown Los Angeles and, you know, $16 ticket and a $15 parking.
Parking, right.
Like, I was like, I don't know about it, but it's playing right now. We've made this drive. I really don't ever want to be in that car again because that drive was just horrible. And the movie is so goddamn funny. Written and directed by this Lake Eden... written, directed, and starring. She's wonderful. And the movie is another one. Just laugh out loud, funny, feel-good comedy about her dad, who's like the second most famous. And they mentioned Don LaFontaine, right?
Oh.
Is that his name?
Don LaFontaine.
Yeah, they...
Dan, isn't it? Dan.
Don LaFontaine.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
So they pay homage to him having died and that he invented
In a World.
And who was going to be the one to resurrect it. And it's a competition between this girl, her dad, who was always number two to him, and this kind of established but up-and-coming hottie. I don't know what his name was. And just the hilarity that ensues.
And again, what's the name of the movie?
It's called In a World.
It is In a World.
I literally want to see that movie.
And it's playing at Scottsdale at the Camel View 5.
I only like to go where I can eat food and drink
this
beer.
Will never be in that movie.
Damn it.
Not in that theater.
This is an unrated, so it's not even, they can't even advertise it. I don't know why she went for unrated. It wasn't, I think they maybe said motherfucker or cocksucker, one of those automatic R rating words, but.
Is that an automatic?
Oh, I don't know. If you say cocksucker, you can decapitate someone and rape three women, but the minute you say cocksucker, automatic R rating.
Why?
Yeah. Because it's the rating.
Because women are valued in theater.
Dude, there's a documentary out about the rating system. I can't remember what it's called.
I've heard it.
Yeah.
About
oh my God. It's fascinating to watch. And they have no names. They have no, the arbitration makes no sense. It's just, it's fucked up.
I'm looking it up.
So anyway, so then we stayed, and the movie we really wanted to see was The Spectacular Now.
Oh, yeah.
Which we thought was going to be a light coming-of-age comedy, but it turned out to be a very, like, poignant drama and really, really realistic. And that Shailene Woodley is, I think I got all the syllables right. Really good. Really, really, it was a great movie. But I was expecting it to be the other way. I thought that In a World would be more of a family drama about the father and daughter, and that was a comedy. And The Spectacular Now was a little bit more serious, but very naturally filmed, really realistic, really good movie. Coming of age.
Do you feel like that this film with her kind of, that it's a little bit more heavy maybe, or than you would have originally assumed. It's similar to The Descendants with Shailene Woodley. She was in The Descendants, and the ads made it seem very like light and funny and cute.
Same thing.
And The Descendants was a lot more introspective. I mean, you really thought about it, and it was more emotional, and it was a little bit deeper. And she was in that as well. So
and she's making some smart choices.
That's what
making.
I feel like.
This is a really and strong. It's really his. It's really the. She's really the supporting role. The movies, and that's what they're completely getting rid of. Is it's a coming age of age story about this teenage boy.
Yeah.
Who grows like about a foot in the film. Sometimes he's the same height as everybody in the movie. And he must have had a growth spurt like on during a Tuesday it. Because then all of a sudden he's like a full 5 feet taller than his mom. Like, there's the scene at the end where him and his mom, you're like, okay.
Which is okay, because that happens in teenage boys.
Yeah, and it progressed. Mm-hmm. It was over the course of his last semester of high school. But it was really well done. And, like, there's scenes where, like, nobody's got makeup on. Everybody's like, okay, that's a little too big of a screen. But it was fun to be in L.A. and not be crammed into the screening room of Camel View 5.
Right.
This was, like, a big, giant theater that's that cool. had a bar. And, like,
I like that.
In a
you
world.
Thank
in,
you.
An yep. unrated movie with almost no advertising, this In a World, the theater was practically full, and like the audience was into it and laughing. I'm like, oh, I love watching a movie with people. That's why I don't go to movies with people, because usually I go see it. People are like, what is this?
Yeah.
I never heard of him before.
By the way, Kelly.
Or I'm in a movie with Nicolas Cage.
I hate him also. Hate him. Kelly gave Daredevil, she said, she doesn't listen to the show, so she's unbiased to what we were saying. But she said C, maybe D. Yeah she was not a Daredevil fan. I would have thought she would have been. But
you put the two of us kind of on the same level.
She loves superheroes, but she was
and I and I love him. Like I think he has very few missteps in his career. But ooh,
that was one of them.
That was
he was with J Lo.
That was a big one.
Yeah, the J Lo, the Geely, and that one.
Geely. Oh God, that was
there. Was like three movies that are just dog.
I saw like a couple clips from that, and I knew I wanted to. It was myself really in the eye.
That's gotta make you hate rom-coms for a long time.
A long time.
So that's it for entertainment.
Got it. Well, I'm gonna interject one little thing that just was published on the web, and I don't know that any of you know of this or have heard of it. And I'm saying it particularly because I know how one of you feels in reference to this, or at least this company. Just posted about 10-15 minutes ago on USA Today's website in what the largest US gay rights group calls a quote historic move. Walmart told employees Monday that it would extend its health benefits and other benefits to domestic partners of employees, including partners of the same sex. The largest U.S. employer made the announcement quietly in a postcard it sent to the employees that listed five other changes in benefits, including a new vision plan. But Walmart, though I realize you are completely opposed in
But
they are now on board to offer same-sex benefits as long as you have been with your domestic partner or are married longer than, well, if you're married, it's instant, but if you've been with your domestic partner for 12 months or longer.
Right, and that's anywhere with a domestic partner.
That's so that's what they do. I just threw that in because it just came across the wire.
Maybe if they would stop locking Mexicans up at night and making them clean for
pennies. Yeah, but they have
pennies.
Benefits now, Katie.
Well, I don't think that those are
and it's all you can, and it's all you can eat.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. And the thing is that, and this is,
that
the power, this is the power of like social media and the power of the quiet groundswell. You don't need the Million Mom March that's only 300,000 crazy women
right,
with Bibles.
Right.
I don't think it's 300,000. I'm pretty sure it's 3,000.
I think it's about 300.
Right.
Yeah. But anyways, so that feeling that everyone has, and you just tell it to everyone you know, like, please don't go in that place. Like, please find somewhere else. Find out, like, Costco. We know people that work there. They pay their employees well. They have benefits. Walmart's making billions of dollars in profits while their employees have to go on food stamps because they're not getting paid enough to live. So this is a good sign. But they have those commercials on all the time now with that kid that is saying, don't think anything bad about me because I work here. I'm getting an education benefits. And Walmart, did you see
that? I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God.
The black kid.
I have not seen it.
Every 7 minutes.
And I watch TV a lot.
Yeah, watch for him. He is on there all the time.
You know we're going to see it now that we've never seen
he's
it.
He's on track to be a manager. He gets benefits. He's getting they're helping him with this tuition. Like Walmart has heard
he's
the drums
like the
beating.
Token black kid, though. Do you think?
No,
do you really think it's
no? It's just
I don't think they have any disparity in hiring as far as racing.
Saying he's like the token minority. That's like they're treating me well, but they're still. Treating their, you know, the cleaner.
They're treating everyone poorly,
crew.
But they are now aware. What I'm saying is they're aware that people are avoiding them because they know it's a shit company. So now they have to do this kind of stuff. Like, they have to promote their image.
Good.
Because, and there's some store, it was just on the news this weekend, but Harrison needs, when I go back to visit, she didn't have the Wi-Fi. She didn't have the Wi-Fi password to where we were.
Oh, got it.
So I couldn't take notes like I usually do.
Okay.
Everywhere. I probably could have, but I didn't have my iPad. It's a self-starter store. It's almost a commune. It's owned by the community. And it is driving Walmart out of business in the small town where it started.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
And it's Walmart has never seen competition. It's what's finally happening to Walmart, what they've done to everyone else.
Sure. Good. I
want to say it's called WeCo or something like that. But this company, and now this company is starting to spread.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. There's one on Bell and 7th Street.
Used to be a Kmart there.
Winco.
It's Winco. Yep, good call.
Yep. And it's owned by the employees, I'm pretty sure. We should probably Google that before I start.
Wait, it's owned by employees?
Yeah, it's owned
by it's like Southwest Airlines on the ground?
Yeah.
In bulk?
So...
extra paper towels.
So, and I'll let me make sure, but they are putting Walmart out of business.
That's interesting.
Privately held American supermarket chain based in Boise, Idaho, with retail stores in Arizona, California, Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington. And I can't remember which one of those states it is that they just they're planning a massive Phoenix warehouse. So I'll check that over time and make sure that that's the place. But this is the one that's like, they're paying their employees fairly, like their employees aren't working full time and still on food stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just make sure, double check that, make sure I didn't lead you to the
but Winco I've seen recently. Yeah. And please do not.
There was one thing that I had, and it was about one of just my favorite comedians ever, Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about her and her partner Jane Wagner.
Yeah.
They've been together 42 years.
Jeez.
And it said that they may be getting married. You know, they're not sure.
As long as we've been alive.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm including you, Ellen, that.
Totally. Not you, Katie.
Not me, though.
No, not you.
Sit back.
You're a child.
Sit back. So Tomlin turns 74 next month.
Wow.
And she never thought, you know, of course, just like
anyone. And Jane Wagner is the partner's name. Been with her publicly forever.
42 years. And they're saying that they might get married. You know, they don't really need to. But she says a marriage would be awfully nice. That everyone that they know who's gotten married says it really makes a difference and they feel really happy about it. They just never anticipated they'd be able to. So that just kind of got put over here.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. So they said no rings, no bridal dresses, no traditional kind of wedding gowns. She said maybe we'll be dressed like chickens. You know, just
thunder chickens.
Why not,
or
right?
maybe
yeah. Thunder chickens.
They could dress up like Edith Ann.
That's the truth.
Yeah, fucking train wreck.
Oh, there's our word. That's our word.
I didn't realize that she and Jane Wagner co-wrote 6 comedy television specials for Tomlin.
They're doing a search for intelligent signs of
Edith
universe.
Ann, and that's the truth. And Grammy nominated albums, Modern Scream and On Stage. Them. So
she was always amazing. She was always supposed to be like her production partner or her co-writer. Okay. And I think they finally came out like maybe like a little bit under the radar with the search for signs of intelligent life in the universe,
right?
Because it played everywhere, and Jane Wagner was such a big part of that. She did seem to be gushing the praise, and people were like, "Well, you've never been photographed with a man,"
right?
And she came out like in the '90s, just really like she kind of just turned back to the microphone and was like, "Oh, I'm gay." Like, she was at a rally and going, and someone said, you should probably tell them. And she's like, oh, does someone not know? And she's like, oh, I'm gay.
I love her.
Like, and I'm with her over there, and Jane Wagner raised her. And it was a really funny story of, like, someone telling her,
I need to Google that.
And it was like, whatever. So, yeah. But I thought that was neat, that after 42 years that they...
I think that is... I saw a picture of them together.
And maybe they'll be dressed like chickens.
I still love Lily Tomlin. In fact, I was laughing because... experiencing new things with, because I don't ever watch movies. So Apple TV, you know, in my house, because I spent an inordinate amount of hours recently watching things on YouTube that have to do with the Muppets. And it's because I'm just, I am continually fascinated about how you can make a production look like they make it look on how they do it. I mean, it's like, you know.
Oh, we saw Kermit the Frog star on the Star of to take a picture.
And
of
I saw the Donna Summer took.
Yeah.
Barbara, Donna and Liza are only 2 stars away. And then Barbara was just at the next corner. I had never been on that. I'd never looked on that side of the street. So like all the gay icons were like lined up. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, they're like, this is the gay section of the neighborhood right here.
But the Lily Tomlin thing, I just was surfing through like what all movies were available, you know, on iTunes, because I was looking for something. I don't know what I was looking for. And I would look through, and so you can, you know, you can do previews of movies. And oddly, the preview of 9 to 5 that they have is the sequence where Violet finds out that she has a new employee. And it's the, oh, we're going to have a special hat for the locker. Or special locker for the hat. So I mean, yeah. That whole scene where, well, I got you. I just tore right through your report, Rob. Yeah. That whole preview of the movie. And I'm like, oh, what a fun movie.
It'll always be F-heart to me.
Always be F-heart to me. Yes, always.
So I did a little light Googling. Oh. And over the last, Winco has been enjoying a wild ride of positive press. The rapidly growing privately held supermarket chain is being touted as a more ethical competitor to Walmart stores, the country's largest retailer. Posting celebrity memes and radiant acclaim, users across Facebook and Twitter are championing the Boise-based Winco. And using it as an example of a company that pays its employees better than Walmart.
Listen, if they sell like ironing boards, I'm in.
And the president...
No. That random shit that Walmart sells.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The random president shit. Of the AFL-CIO said Winco's higher wages and benefits had led to lower turnover. The average hourly worker stays with the company more than 8 years, which has led to better employee performance and customer satisfaction. But then it took it down because it turns out Winco is anti-union. But you know what I mean? But it's not like the Walmart people got a union. Yeah. So at least they're paying better.
Okay.
So there you go, Winco.
End of hour two on this Tuesday evening. You're with the show. It's Clayton McKee, Marnie Ryer, Katie June, Al Perkins. We're here every Tuesday night, 7 to 10, Arizona time. Thanks for being with us. We have a whole 45 minutes to go. We had a technical difficulty, and I just remembered a few minutes ago, we're cut off at 10 regardless, so we will be cutting the show just a trifle short for those of you on the audio-only stream, because that cuts off regardless of what we do. So we will wrap up the show at 10, as always, so to make sure that you don't miss anything with our thoughtful vulgarity segment. Coming up, Katie June's got some sports. I have a little surprise for the cast, just because they've wanted to see it for so long, and we'll do that.
No, put that away.
Gotta go.
We'll be back with the show moments from now, right here on Q Talk.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It is the beginning of hour three. It's the show. Q Talk America. We are here every Tuesday. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Marnie Ryer, Katie June, Al Perkins. Woo! For those of you listening and only joining us now, we had a little technical difficulty at the beginning of the show. So we are about 15 minutes shy. So we've got about 45 minutes left in what we're calling our third hour tonight. But I'm sure we'll make it up somewhere else along the line. Somewhere. At this point, coming up in this hour, we may ditch Death Watch this week. Katie's got some interesting stuff. In addition to sports, I have a special surprise for the cast, because they've been asking about it for several weeks now. And, well, Thoughtful Vulgarity's coming up, too. But now let's go to Katie June and some sports.
In sports.
Sports.
And current events.
I like that.
Lamar Odom not missing. The gay former NFL star of the Seahawks named executive director of a fabulous new LGBT organization. In current events, I mean, Syria is happening. An immigration debate is held in Arizona, and a Main Street banker buys a new home.
Sports and current events. In a world.
Totally it. Awesome. So
I gotta find you new theme music. I think.
Know. I'm gonna try to. I'll go quickly because I love Thoughtful Vulgarity, so we want to get there. So Lamar Odom, not missing. Just dealing with an addiction to crack.
Oh, what?
In a friend's LA hotel room as wife Khloe Kardashian rushes to his side. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Lamar.
Yeah.
He was playing for the Clippers and then playing for the
really tall.
Black, really tall.
Yeah.
And then
intentional racism.
Yeah, no, well, definitely.
Not really. I just wanted to clarify.
No, yep. On our part.
He was playing for the Houston Rockets, then back to the Clippers. Anyhow, he's married to Khloe Kardashian, so that's kind of where he got his fame or whatever. So there had been rumors circulating that their relationship was on the rocks, and
no, he was on the rock.
Yeah.
Well, turns out. Thank yeah. you. Yeah. Turns yeah. out.
True story.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. So he had kicked the habit for the last season of basketball, but he's just his ability and his playing has gone downhill, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that they can attribute it to the crack addiction. Yeah. Chloe has been by his side, mm-hmm. but which right? I mean, she loves him. And if you ever watch the show, which is, I do because Kelly puts it on all the time.
We don't. We differ there. But okay,
yes.
Yeah.
And so I see it out of all of the crazy batshit Kardashians, like Luke. She's the most down to earth, normal girl. And she really loves her husband and he loves her. And so they're an actual genuine relationship. Unlike Kim, who married for 72 hours for TV or whatever the fuck she did.
But I thought they were splitting up, Khloé and Lamar.
So that's what the... That's where the rumors started, is that they were having all kinds of marital troubles and that it was cheating and infidelity. And
Lamar
and
was like he hit a paparazzi, like somebody came over and he like took all his cameras. Yeah. He was probably buying
high.
Crack.
Yeah.
Or
so,
high. Yeah.
No, so it's not good. So, the rumors have been that they're splitting up and, but she is contending in the media anyhow that she's standing by his side. It's very, very, very sad having come from the place of familial addiction. It just destroys you. And I, you know, Kardashian or no, you got to feel sad for the girl. I, she's my favorite one of all of them. And I feel just sad for
anybody in a relationship with addiction.
Anyone,
that's hard.
A really promising athlete, who kind of succumbed. And, cause I've watched so sad. I've watched the Kardashians for so long. I know he's got this really horrible family story. His dad's absent. Like, his dad was at a... It's bad.
But he's alive, so he can still turn it around.
He disappeared. That's right. So that was the thing, is that he was, like, gone. But apparently he's in a hotel room with friends. The Kardashians had an intervention, and he left. He said bye. And now he's in a hotel room with friends who are also, quote-unquote, having an intervention. To me, in a hotel room with friends mean we're, quote-unquote, smoking a bunch of crack.
Right. Yeah.
But
And at the end, we'll say we'll quit.
We're intervening.
We're binging.
Right.
Anyway, very sad ending to what was a really successful and promising athletic career.
Can I do one quick news update? The missing Arizona teen that had was obsessed with Into the Wild
and
ran away. They found him dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really hoping he was going to be like 127 hours and just be trapped under a rock, but he was dead. So that was the only story I was really following this weekend, because every once in a while I have that urge to do the Into the Wild thing and go live in a trailer. But then I remember about showers and how much I like them and cable TV.
Yeah, cable. Remember that?
But it's just such a sad story, and all because of a broken heart. But there's another kid just...
Very, very sad.
What a waste. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So there is another gay former star of the NFL. His name is Wade Davis. He played
for
the Seahawks, the Titans,
short cutie.
And the Redskins.
So, yeah.
He is short.
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're thinking of the guy. So he has been named the executive director of the You Can Play Project, which, if you'll remember, we spoke about in the last few months at some point.
If you can play?
If you can play, you can play.
It's right.
Anti-homophobia and lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender-focused sports organization. Their mission statement is committed to ensuring equality, respect, and safety for all athletes without regard to sexual orientation. If you can play, you can play. So it goes on. And so it's just kind of a really, it's cool. So this ex-NFL star.
Sure.
And he
has come out publicly. He came out last year.
Yeah, and I want to say on Inside the NFL, but I may have that wrong, because that's one that I watch.
Oh, I don't know.
On HBO?
Because I have Showtime.
Showtime.
They moved that to Showtime, and I think that's a tricky deal. Because that used to be ESPN. But anyways.
I don't know if that's where he came out. But it's just it's cool that...
But he's a great ambassador for the gays. Mm-hmm. He's a great spokesperson
for us. Good spokesperson for the organization.
Really attractive.
Yeah. So that's it for sports. You guys know all well that,
and we still have to organize our how we're gonna we have to give advice to the people about boycotting the Olympics and how we're gonna do it.
Well, and there was a Upworthy petition going around about boycotting Visa was the next thing. So I signed my name
and
to it.
That. I liked the Visa. I like boycotting NBC's new shows, which I looked at the schedule. Not hard to do. Hannibal doesn't come out till after the Olympics. And Visa. I like that.
And actually, I use my MasterCard or my American Express way more, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And it said, do you own a Visa? And I was like, yep. And then added my name to the petition.
Yes, yeah, I was gonna see about changing my debit card to a MasterCard to get rid of it because I think that's the only way that we can.
I do too. And Kelly had said something to me about something. We need to boycott, you know, or we shouldn't send our athletes. And we had that. We had a good discussion about why that was, you know, not the right thing to do. It's not fair for, you know, Joe Public, the athlete, or Joe Olympian.
Yeah.
You know?
Greg Louganis has a good op-ed piece. I don't remember where he wrote it for. But
yeah,
I saw that. Yeah, he's got a good piece about why you can't punish the Olympians for the host country's sins and like where to follow the money. So I'm liking this follow the money.
Yes, yeah. Actually, there's a good website called Follow the Money. It's all political, but I'm sure that they'll have maybe some things.
If you're following money, isn't it wind up all being
followthemoney.com? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
And so is anything about food, by the way, too.
So moving along, I feel like we can't go without, and I know it's heavy and I don't mean to like get into a crazy discussion. We don't have to. I've been like doing it in my head for the last few days and with Kelly. But, you know, all of the stuff that's going on in Syria is really freaking me out.
Oh,
and of course, Bashar al-Assad has been now convicted is not the right word, but they are saying that he has without a doubt been dropping chemical weapons on his own people. Mm-hmm. And of course, the reason being to stay in power, the Syrian rebels are now trying to oppose his government and his government regime. And essentially, it's the same thing as all of the crazy Tea Partiers who say, fuck you, Barack Obama, or us in this room who previously said, go fuck yourself, George Bush. Mm-hmm. It would be like George Bush bombing all of us and just going, you know what? Fuck you guys back. And it's just so
fuck you guys back.
Crazy. Which you can say
sounds
all
like
you
a
want,
train wreck.
But
sounds
it is killing people. I've been watching this video footage over and over because, you know, when the news is sensational and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, these people and especially children are just dying of asphyxiation and chemical burns and crazy. I mean, I saw someone who was shaking like to death of poison. And here's
what do we do? It's the Egypt thing. Like, mm-hmm. because is he, you know, Saddam Hussein, not a great guy, but a secular leader of a sovereign nation. Mm-hmm. We took him down and we created a big fucking train wreck.
Here's
Egypt.
A huge train wreck. So
do we kind of let them fight it out? See who emerges?
And this is the whole thing is that everyone's saying it's a civil war and it is. One side note before I forget, I was looking at pictures of Bashar al-Assad and whatever, and he's like a weird with that tiny mustache. He's like a very weird Hitler looking guy to me.
And then he's always buddy with saying he's Ahmadinejad from Iran.
But his wife is stunning. Bashar al-Assad's wife is gorgeous. And I'm just like, and she looks like a reasonably minded woman, but it makes me sad to look at pictures of her. I feel actual like heartbreak because I'm like, why aren't you standing up for your people? You know, she just seems like she's too fabulous to just stand by and let her husband commit genocide on their people.
And it's one of those, and I think it's the great.
And then she let her go buy shoes and then she's fine.
Seriously, she's stunning and she's well dressed. It's really frightening because I look at her and I'm like, be a strong woman. But they aren't in those countries. They are oppressed and she looks good. But that's about it. She looks smart though. If you look at her picture, she just looks like a leader, and I hate that about her.
And it's one of those things where we fucked up intervening in Cuba. We fucked up Iran the first time when we put the Shah in place and got rid of the democratically elected person
which was all about oil and gas and business and trade.
And it always is. So now we're left with, do we intervene? Because we always fuck that up. Do we not intervene and end up with another Darfur
Here's the thing that's freaky.
Rwanda.
Like, do we end up in those places where we have?
Well,
like,
we don't, because we don't give a shit about Africa because they're not producing us oil. They're not giving us. They're not trade routes. We don't.
But
care
we got
about,
involved in Libya. Sure. You know what I mean?
True.
But that's France's oil. You just got to follow the money.
Thank you.
Turns out that's France's oil. So what do we? And that's it's all over the news today. Like, you can't get a Democrat or a Republican to get on TV and do their face off because everyone is a shit show.
If y'all haven't seen, this has been the homepage for the day on HuffPo. It to me is very frightening. It says, and here's what the little, you know, they had the little headline runners and report strikes as early as Thursday. UN official, Assad's brother may have authorized the chemical attack. France ready to punish Syria. Biden, no doubt Assad used chemical weapons. Report, U.S. intelligence intercepted calls to prove that the Syrian army used nerve gas. Author of the surgical strike plan, the punitive action of the dumbest of all actions, blah, 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 blah. It just goes on and on. And it's, to me, what's scary is that they're, you know, this is a civil war. It is. It's a war amongst their own people. Mm-hmm. But when have there been other civil wars that we've gotten involved in? Like, and I thought of the Korean War.
We caused one big one.
Well, yeah. Recently.
Yeah.
But it caused a giant one. Right,
but
exactly.
But I look at, like, the Korean War, for example, Vietnam. Where it was their own Vietnam.
When we intervene, we fuck it up.
Fuck it up. And I just... But looking at who the allies are for Syria...
And that's what we don't know.
We know it's Iran, Russia, China. Yeah. I mean, it's the other world superpowers. And thanks a bunch, France and Britain. But seriously, I feel like us going into war with France and Britain is like me and my little sister and my daughter. And we're like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I know that they're not like these big giant pussies who have nothing. But China.
France knows how to say I surrender in like six languages.
Thank you. Sure. China and Russia and Iran, those fucking other, that they're. Serious crazy brothers to the east or whatever.
The other thing to look at, and it came up today, I watched before I fell asleep, I watched a little bit of Anderson Cooper. And Anderson Cooper signed off today with, we could be deploying troops later today.
Yeah.
Or later Thursday. This week.
Yeah, but my understanding My understanding was
airstrikes.
No, but they were saying like, but what's the second? Because...
Plan B.
And then
and that's the other thing is once you do one, you have to, once you have plan A, you have to have plan B, C, D, E, and F. If you do this thing...
Because you can't do the George Bush way.
No.
Put up your mission accomplished sign, wear a little costume, and walk away.
Shut your mouth, George Bush. You have to do...
Seacrest out.
Yes. Thank you, George Bush.
George W.
Go into the compound. Yes. Like, you've got to... You have to be ready. And it's very scary to me because I feel like once we also involve Iran, Russia, China, then I feel like we're looking at World War III. That's just like where my mind goes.
No, and John, and it's interesting because I just before I fell asleep, that's what I was watching. And John King said, you could think of this as like they're dropping a bomb
on Hiroshima.
And he was saying like in Oklahoma and what the fuck does California? He's like, look at a map. And if we do missiles to Syria, take a look at a map and see how close together those countries are.
Oh, yeah.
That's the little corner of trouble that everybody's already in hell and fighting a war. We're just adding one more bomb. And it's like Rhode Island, Massachusetts. It's that close.
Yeah.
But what can they give us? And that's because when you have Rwanda and you have, you know, just to take Rwanda.
Yeah. Or Somalia.
Like go in there.
Radiki. We need some radiki.
You're like, what?
Will and Grace, never mind.
Okay. I'm like, is that food?
Exactly. It's exactly what it is.
Radicchio. Radish.
Right. But what can Syria give us? What's the point of it? And I haven't watched any of this, so that's why I don't know.
I feel the same way as that,
because if it's a humanitarian effort, we should have gone in, you know, like there's...
It's not, though. It's just something that's going on, but we have been... This has been going on since the spring.
Okay.
And that the red line in the sand that Obama kept saying
a year
was
ago.
chemical weapons. And all they've been saying, like, for the last month or so is... There's been chemical weapons.
We've been putting it
off. And finally, now we have video of, like, now there's chemical weapons.
Right.
So we kind of said that was...
Should have got off the pot.
Right.
So now it's almost like we have to do something, or we look like...
Fools.
We're just...
Well, I think we look foolish to go in there.
I think we almost just look like, call our bluff. Well, they did. So now what?
Yeah.
You know, is that worse? I don't know. Is it worse to just say... Call our bluff, and then we don't give a shit. Or is it worse to go in?
And we want to start a war. Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, Israel, Turkey. Like, none of these countries are stable. We're in this little neighborhood of, like, everything. It's Florida, basically.
Just gonna point out that if it were a sinkhole, that'd be one thing, but it sounds like a fucking train wreck.
And here's the other thing.
Yeah.
One more thing is that I want to know, and I know that this sounds selfish and horrible, and I am not. I am all for humanitarian efforts, and I understand that that's important, but... These are our soldiers and our people. And this is selfish, but I look at me and my little family in this little corner of Phoenix, Arizona. And how does interfering in their business affect me and my family.
How does killing our 19-year-olds make that story better?
Yep. Exactly. And and how does that, I mean, it, does it affect Palmer growing up? Because if we don't interfere now, is that going to have a negative impact on her in the future?
Yeah.
Or is interfering now going to have, I don't know, it's just very confusing and very scary.
It's a fucked up, and it's that whole thing. Look, I mean, Libya's, I mean, you just go along with, this is where all the shit has been going down for 2 years. What do we do? Like, I mean,
do you have something else on this, on your list of this shit?
You know what? I will, I'm going to pass off my immigration to next week because it's actually really good.
Yeah, because we need
good.
To move. Any of this stuff needs to be in first hour.
It will. But, Main Street Bank. Good old Daryl Lane Woods, the chairman of the Columbus, Missouri Bank-based Main Street Bank, pleaded guilty on Monday to using bailout funds that he requested for his bank. From the TARP program, and guess what he did with it? He got $1 million in TARP assets, which is all taxpayer funded money coming from the federal government. I'm going to have to go ahead and make a really safe assumption that Daryl Lane Woods is probably a Republican.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to guess.
Did he go to Disneyland?
Most likely. Close.
Oh, did he buy Disneyland?
He bought a luxury condominium in, of all places,
Florida.
Thank you.
Train wreck.
To the tune of $400,000. Anyway, since 2009 that he did this. So he was a squawker and a moaner about F the government bailout. Yeah. Fuck you guys and fuck the government bailout. Then he quietly.
Oh, and I'm sure he has something really nasty to say about welfare recipients and food stamps.
He quietly took the government, very, very, very quietly took the government bailout and said, go fuck yourself, but pass it over this way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if everyone else is doing it, I'm going to do it too. And then he took those funds, over one third of those funds, and bought himself a real super swell home in Florida.
He has to have a home base. He has to have a place to think things through.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember when
what else will I spend my money on?
When TARP was going on and they were bonusing people, even though the industry was failing.
Yeah.
And they were saying, well, we can't, these are the best and the brightest. We can't lose the best and the brightest. We have to pay them to stick around. And I remember Joey Behar going, if this is the best and the brightest and they fucked us this hard, maybe we need to find the dimmer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
This is
the mediocre and the less dim. It just cracked me up.
U.S. Attorney Tammy Dickinson said, at a time when many other Americans were losing their homes, Mr. Woods was siphoning off public funds to buy himself a luxury vacation condo in Florida.
Fucked hard.
So, anyway.
Not shocking.
Makes you hate those asshole bankers.
Yeah, big time.
Hashtag Republican.
Yeah, still no one ever indicted or charged with a crime for the whole Wall Street
for
thing.
For that.
No.
For the whole crash. Mm-hmm. Nope. They got bonuses.
They have homes
really
in Florida.
Horrible.
They do.
And they're a fucking train wreck.
Love the place too.
Next caller.
Okay. We are getting ready to go into our Thoughtful Vulgarity segment, which is where we, in the studio, ponder wonderful things. Well, there's a disclaimer that goes with that. But I brought something, and I've been meaning to do it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Only because you, Al.
Oh! I'm so excited!
Oh, my gosh! Yes! Oh, I need a photo.
Oh.
Now I have to look like I can't find the birds so that the glasses help me.
You all look so close!
Oh, I can believe it.
No, wait.
Hold on. This is fantastic.
Al, you are in focus, but I realize... You're 3 feet from me.
I'm not some rare bird hiding
so
in a tree.
So I brought, I think.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. That's fantastic.
So these are the zoomies. Oh my God, I'm sure this looks. Oh my God. I look like a.
This is fucking hysterical.
This is not how I want to be remembered.
No, so, and then Al, on the sides, look at me. I'm over here. On the sides.
How can you not find him?
The road, you adjust your focus.
Al, let me see.
In unison.
I'm going to throw up.
No. Al, let me see you.
But how do the birds look in the trees?
I'm to the right.
Oh, you look very clear, Barney. But you look just as clear as...
I did a minute ago.
Yeah, because I have sight. I can see everything that the glasses do.
We should give these to Helen Keller.
Oh, my God.
These
things are the most worthless pieces of shit. Zoomies. Look, Google them and
the
find
fuck
out what...
Is Katie June?
Where's Katie? I can't see her. I think I could see through the wall. But I can't.
Now, the other thing is... In the spirit of as sold on TV, I tried your little ear cleaner thing.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Oh, that was useless.
Oh, no. Actually, I don't think it's useless because it does suck just the water out, but it doesn't do anything else.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It just sucks the water out of your ear, which I like.
What in the hell? Do you have to have super glue?
No. There. No, don't fuck them up. Because really? You'll mess up the technical focus mechanism.
Oh. I have no idea.
You've never put on a pair of glasses before.
There. Now, and put them on.
And now you spin the dials at the temple.
And then on the side, the temple focusing.
And suddenly something that's 2 feet away is 2 feet away.
Exactly.
But clearer?
No, not really. So put them on. Look at you. Remember when your grandmother bought the sunglasses that went over the glasses?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you look like.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, Katie's coming back in. I can see her through the door. Blue blockers I love. I have a pair of... I love blue... Look
These are asinine.
Okay, how much further do I look away from you?
Not further. You look worried.
Wait, I love that Al says, and suddenly something that's 2 feet away is two feet away.
That's exactly what
that did. I made him clear. Okay, well, that I get.
Better, worse.
Katie, here, take these. Yes. You need to experience what I shit this
wait.
Is.
I literally can't wait.
So I feel that, like one of
mine... Remind me the name of these glasses.
Zoomies.
Oh, yeah. Here's what they I feel like right now. I feel like one of those minions on...
That movie.
The...
You're killing me.
I can't see my hands. Oh,
Despicable.
Yeah, despicable
you
me.
Literally don't look any closer. Your face just looks a little bigger.
I feel. Like
I mean, but I like that's not what I needed. Not like bigger. Like I can see your pores, but like bigger in respect to your whole body and okay, like wait. Place. And
okay, hang on, Marty. Let this camera focus on you if it can possibly.
It doesn't want
no,
to.
No, it does. It can't.
Put the glasses on it. I know it wouldn't on you either.
Katie.
These are asinine.
Okay. Now the other thing we have.
Wait, Katie.
I can honestly see better when I do this. Wait, I honestly don't know where
I will
she's
post
at.
These on. Pictures on our. I will post these pictures on our Facebook page.
You should be like right here, but you're.
I know
right
you're wrong.
That's my pancake.
So wait. So
it's like a drunk test.
We also might be half drunk.
Which is...
Patty.
It's a violent game.
Oh! Yeah, it's a violent...
You have to put...
She's turning violet.
You're
I love that you're not on screen, though, so no one can see it but us.
Yeah, we can't see you, Katie. There you go.
This is easier.
Honestly, like, let's just
say
this for
okay, the only thing funnier than the picture of that is you have to Google it.
Mercy.
You have to Google the picture of Will Smith and his two children's watching reaction to Miley right. Cyrus.
Praise Jesus
Lady
for that.
Gaga. It was actually Lady Gaga.
Yeah. No. The one that they showed to the CNN was... Will Smith, Willow, and Jaden. Is that the other one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You have to see the picture of the three of them watching Miley Cyrus. And the look on Will Smith's face just says, I have to go rethink parenting right now.
Wait. What do I do about this?
What?
What in the hell?
Is this supposed to be like, do you wear these?
Can you
like
drive
No. According to these, if you're sitting on the sidelines watching football, you're in the action.
Oh, wow.
That's because you're falling forward. You don't know what these are ridiculous.
They're horrible. But it was buy one, get one free.
I kind of said it, yeah.
Well, oh my God.
Separate shipping.
Thank
Take
God.
Them off and your whole world like changes back to Rock good. My world because like the... My deal is these kind of remind me of Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, like night vision weird.
Oh, they
weird
do.
Night
yeah, they
vision,
do.
Right?
Oh,
okay. Night vision.
Hello, Clary.
I can't find you.
I can't find you, Clary.
I can't see you.
Okay, I'm gonna because I know how to do this. I'm gonna put
Good
the.
God, those are ridiculous.
Yeah, and your eyes have to like readjust when you take them off.
Those are ridiculous.
Thank you for bringing them.
Thank you.
Well, I thought this would be a nice way to wind up our time in Studio B with the Zoomies.
I'm those putting the link fantastic. To the picture on.
We can see where we're going
on the chat room.
Oh, for the gotcha.
The bugaloos. Awesome.
Oh, wait till you see the picture I took. The glasses are shiny. It looks like you've got those eyes. It's stupid.
Fantastic. All right. Click on the link to see Will Smith and his children experiencing Miley Cyrus.
And can I find that on facebook.com/ The Clayton McKee Show?
Maybe someday. But right now, it's just
I see it, right?
Room.
Oh, in fact, Jaden, the son, looks terrified. What the fuck is that?
Did you go in the chat room and click on the link?
I did. Just now.
Yes. No, but this... okay. And God bless it. This was actually to Lady Gaga. Yeah. It's been... It has... And because I was like really excited about the fact that this was a Miley Cyrus thing, this was actually in regards to Lady Gaga, which is interesting to me because she didn't do anything that was so crazy.
No, it says right on the bottom. It's the reaction.
I know. It's not.
Oh, okay.
It's Lady Gaga. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to pretend that the news is right because they showed it on CNN today, too.
And it was they showed it everywhere. They had this on the Today Show. They had it everywhere that this was a.
Oh, now you've burst my bubble.
I would like to give a tiny shout out to those listening in the UK, Malaysia, and of course, the wonderful United States and Japan, because Donnie is listening as well over there in Okinawa.
I wish that those people would chime in on the chat room.
They should. I would love it if they would, too.
And let us know what they think about the Syrian stuff.
Because I don't think we've heard from the United Kingdom. I don't think they've ever gotten the chat room.
I don't want to get all serious and heavy. I know we're like a fun show. I mean, like, drink.
But that's going to affect. I mean, that really is.
I know. It's scary to me, so.
Yeah, no, it is to
me. 9:41. It is a Tuesday night, and we are going to go with this direction right now.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right. Our first question is kind of from a song. Do I want to go with the song? I'm going to go with the song first. I feel like we've already talked about this, but we'll do it again.
We can do it again. Maybe we'll have different answers this time.
Yes.
You never know with us.
Yeah. I like that, actually.
Oh, well, here's part A. I'll do it in parts then.
Ooh,
is
parts,
it easier to love or to be loved?
Ooh.
Marnie
has to start. Welcome back.
Did you hear the question?
Yeah, to love. It's easier to love.
Yeah.
Then accept that love in return.
Okay.
I think.
Wait, it's easier to love than to accept that love in return?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's to love or be loved, which is easier, yes, would be to love someone, I think. It's easier for me.
Okay.
I'm going to also say to love. Because although it feels really good to be loved, and I feel that every day with Kelly, I feel like...
She puts fingers on your windows, so...
That's true story. Ding, ding,
not
ding.
A metaphor.
Yeah.
How did you know?
It's not like that San Diego
right,
mayor.
No. So, but I'm thinking...
Hug it out.
What if... I enjoy being loved by her, but what if she loved me so much and I didn't reciprocate those feelings? Then it would be really painful and hard to be loved. I think it's easier to love somebody because you don't necessarily look for something in return. You're just saying, I love you.
You don't, yeah, it's not a risk.
It's not a, yeah, yes. Yeah. If someone else loves you and you don't love them back or there's weird, I don't know. I just think.
Or they do something.
I love you is a really easy and enjoyable thing to feel regardless of who it is.
Yeah,
with.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree. And I'm going to exclude family members from this conversation. I don't feel we're talking about family members.
Oh, no.
I completely understand that.
You're stuck.
Yeah. I adore and love my mother and she loves me. So that's that's out. But in regards to everybody else, and again, present company, but I think it's right. It's easier to love. It's easier to give that. And I think that part of it, at least for me, there is the other side of that coin is I can feel what I feel for you and I can love you, whoever you are, blah, 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 blah. But there's still that there's a wall of
you're in control of
it. of what's coming back. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't want to be.
Yeah.
But I don't trust it. It's like,
yeah, I think that's the word that's missing from this.
I have the
trust part. Because as soon as someone offers you their love and you take it, then all of a sudden there's a trust thing. When you just threw the love bomb out. It's just there, and everybody's going to deal with it.
But it's so difficult, and I have a trust issue with a lot of people for a lot of different things, and I think that's, maybe that's just part of, I know that that's me, I don't know if everybody else is like that, but I'm very guarded when it comes to that, and if somebody says or they feel a certain way, I'm like, I'm not like put a ring on it or give me a bracelet or do something, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna need to see this for a while,
sure.
to make sure we're there, because...
Yeah.
You know, I know how I am with people. Like, I want to do things and I want to take care of and I want to do... I know how I am. But if you are, if you say you're on the same love boat that I'm on, which, by the way, the boat got decommissioned. It's no longer a floating vessel. I don't remember. We talked about that. Yeah. Anyway, I must have been out getting a drink. Anyway.
That was your story.
But I think it makes perfect sense that you're saying that.
I don't remember.
The Pacific Princess was my story.
I don't remember that. I don't
remember. Taking its last voyage. You showed us pictures. We sang remember. The song.
There was a song?
God damn. That was a good drink? Week. Yeah. Were you, maybe you were gone that week.
I must have been.
I don't remember
me
the story
too.
At all.
Unless it was...
Anyway.
But I understand what you're saying. That it's just easier for you to... It. For you and I think the three of us have all said to say... I love you than it is to trust or accept that love back from someone else.
And like, for instance, right now, I mean, I'm enjoying that and I trust that love and whatever else, but I'm in general. So I'm not speaking of Aaron per se.
Well,
I'm just
right,
saying
yes.
In general.
But you, but you do love, you do have 2 years under your belt
two and
with
a half
that.
Years, yeah.
Yeah. And that certainly speaks for something. I mean, time speaks for a lot in regards to that. But I'm always leery. And I'm always leery, not just with love, but I mean, I'll even cut it back to... If all of a sudden somebody's hanging around a lot that likes me or finds me interesting for whatever reason, I'm always like, okay, we're gonna keep you we're gonna keep you arm's length until I figure out what your angle is.
Yeah.
And it's horrible to think that I think somebody always has an angle, but more often than not, they got an angle.
They do.
Yeah. Which is the bullshit of it.
And I hate to I hate to drill this down to something as trivial as like the Facebooks, but I always people like who request you as friends that you don't really know. You're like, oh, wait, I kind of know them. And then the second you're friends, they're trying to use your page to promote something. Oh, so I'm like, no.
I realize name those people off the top of
I'm
my head
drilling
right
down way
no, but
down
I,
from
I,
love.
No, I think trust and love are kind of the same thing. And because the other difference is the saying I love you to someone, especially if you mean it like romantically, that's the toughest thing in the world to time that correctly. Because then if you get crickets back, you're like, oh, fuck, that's done.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to it's like, hey, love you, see
ya. Yeah. Right. Or it's you do it too cavalier and it comes out like, yeah, I like spinach too.
Yeah.
You
know what
I
mean?
I also love.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
It's my cousin is just going through this. My cousin, who's recently divorced, is going, had this magical connection with this man. Bad timing, but regardless, they had this really great connection. And after her divorce, and she's going through this right now. We were just talking about it today about, you know, she had said, I love you to him, kind of off the, like, unexpectedly, it kind of just came out of her mouth. And
because
she was feeling it.
Like, oh,
do you know what
shit,
I mean? And
why
then,
did I say that?
And then he didn't say it back. And she's
is that,
like, oh,
is
my
that rank up there with screaming the wrong name?
I think it's more humiliating than screaming the wrong name is when you get the crickets back to the I love you, or you get the baffled, like, oh.
Right.
I went to the bathroom.
And so we were just talking. Right. She was like, it was, I said it
too.
I didn't expect anything in return, but you kind of hope for. And anyway, so
he looks stupid.
He just had said it back to her now last week after a couple of weeks. But she said the timing was right, whatever. But it's interesting, like, that it's, she was very easily giving love to him and saying, like, I love you.
Yeah.
And it was much easier for her to do that than it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
And I went through the thing that I thought of with this question was I went through a breakup a long time ago. And it was one of those horrible things where, like, to hear someone say, like, I just thought I could trust you to not fuck with me.
Oh, God.
And you know what I mean? And that was one of those things where, like, oh, that's right, because, you know what I mean? You know I love you, so I really shouldn't be fucking. And it was me that did the fucking. Like, it was me that was the asshole in most of the stories. But that one in particular. And it was just to see that
in
on someone's.
Particular.
Yeah, that see it in someone's face. Like, I still loved him, but unfortunately, I had earned his trust and then just betrayed it six ways from Tuesday.
I sort of hate you right now a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm an ass. I admit it all the time.
It happened to me, and I sort of like hate you because I remember feeling, how could you have done this to me of all people?
Oh, yeah,
you
exactly.
Loved me.
You, yeah, and that was, yeah, and that's that
really the worst feeling ever.
Made it very
so,
hard because I still loved him, but I was still an asshole. Like, it
I'll step into the shoes of that man that you're horrible.
Yeah.
No. Oh,
no,
and I think you're great, but from his perspective,
but we've never dated,
that's hard,
right?
Sure. Someone you trust so much,
and that is the hard thing is when you have someone's love, you have all their trust, and then and that's when you can really hurt someone.
Like,
if there's someone that I don't know that thinks I'm an asshole, I don't give a shit.
Right.
If it's someone that I'm like have respect for or like think is a great person, and they think I'm like, you know, a shitty person or like, and then I'm like, oh, now that's like that hurts. Like, oh, coming from you, that's different than Joe Schmo on the street that I think they're an asshole too.
Right. Yeah, I think you're an asshole.
You know, to add to that, and maybe this is just a trajectory that doesn't have anything to do with it, but I was just lumping it in. It's also difficult when you have feelings for someone who doesn't have the same feelings towards you, but is with somebody else, and you see them unhappy, and you see them go through stuff, and then they vocalize, like, I don't understand why am I in this situation as opposed to another situation, or they make comments like, I just want to be in love, I just want to be happy. And
I
want to
be with someone like you.
Well, no.
That's when the unrequited love march. Because that's what I call it. It's an old comedian that used to do that. The unrequited love march. Like, dun, 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 dun. Like, I love you, but you don't love me back. And then when they are, but they really like you as a friend.
Right.
And oh my God, you're so fantastic and help me with my relationship. No, because my plan A and B is kill your boyfriend and then marry the mom.
And my friends are going to help me.
Yeah.
That's right. See the guys with shovels over there?
Yeah.
I've already bought the bracelet. I'm just letting you know.
In that situation, that's a good follow. That wasn't the follow-up question, but I had planned, but let's go with it. The unrequited love march. So once your feelings are more than the person who does like you back, just doesn't have the feelings, but genuinely fond of you and enjoys your company. Once that happens, is the friendship just doomed?
I gotta jump in here, and I don't think it's doomed. I had an unrequited love for a gay man, actually.
And we've gotten over that. Yeah.
And here we are.
That would have been a fucking train wreck.
Like, it seems like that was true because as I was saying that, Clayton's like, I know, and we've gotten over it. I'm like, oh my God.
Not true.
And no, it was
do a rumor thing later.
No, it was Gabby, actually. Gabby.
I forgot about Gabby.
And I just, like, totally unintentionally, we were best friends. We moved in together. We shared a one bedroom apartment for a long time. We slept in the same bed. I mean, I don't know. In my head, like, I just, and my heart, like, we were just friends, obviously, but I developed like this. We were living together as a boyfriend and girlfriend. Like we did everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
And we did everything together, and we were making every breakfast and lunch.
And this was a gay man or a woman?
Gay man. And we lived together. We worked together. We worked out together. We were best friends.
Non-sexual life partners.
We were non-sexual life partners. Right. And he did not feel that way. He just felt like, oh, we were friends. We were living together, whatever. And I fell in love with him. Like, I really unintentionally.
He's a very cute guy. Fell in love with him.
He's also Syrian, by the way. So let's dig deep. I know about this shit. Yeah. But regardless, I felt.
Put a couple of beers in that barefoot contessa. It's fine. What do you do with that?
I know. I fell in love, and it was really, really, really hard for me to move past that. When he started dating this guy, Chad, who he dated for a long time, and Chad kind of started coming around the apartment, I still lived there.
Right.
And there were times, and we lived in a one-bedroom apartment
with one bed. Yeah,
and I was getting booted to the couch, and I fucking hated Chad. Because in my head, in my life, in my relationship, like, he was like the other man. Even though Gabby and I were, obviously, we were never sexual. We never even crossed any weird lines. Like, he was super, super, super gay. But it was, to me, he was the other man.
As opposed to just gay.
I remember his boyfriend, Chad, invited me out to lunch one time to, like, try to make nice with me because I was like, oh, my God. It was, like,
I had one of those lunches.
Arsenic and Old Lace? Is that what that was?
Yeah. With an unrequited love's boyfriend to be like, okay, we're trying to save the friendship, so I'm going to... Can you not be a dick?
It was really hard.
We ended up friends. It took a long time and a lot of work.
Chad and I are great friends. The last time I was in D.C.
No, I'm just kidding.
Chad now lives in D.C., and the last time I was there, I went and hung out with him and his boyfriend. Like, Chad, the new boyfriend, he and I are great friends. They're no longer together. But I watched... What was that movie with Cole Porter, about Cole Porter's life?
Oh, DeLovely.
DeLovely.
And that is, like, what kicked me out of the funk. Like, when I watched that movie and I watched how she had that kind of unrequited love for him. And I was like, oh, my God, that's me. Like, I've got... And it, like, really... But it was so super real in my heart, in my head. And it was, like, a real, real, real thing.
Yeah, I did the...
It was hard.
I did the uber creepy... Sleep in the same bed, take baths together, make out sometimes, do naked stuff.
I was like, with a girl?
He didn't want to be boyfriends, but we were kind of attached at the hip. And like,
well, attached to something.
And you were in love. Were you feeling like super love?
I was feeling like the train was definitely headed towards that crash.
Fucking train wreck.
The wheel
house. But I couldn't get out of it because it was in my house. in my bed with my, you know what I mean? Like, it was all on my turf. So I'm like, you got to get out of, you know what I mean? And it just took me a while to realize, like, you just have to get away from me.
Yeah.
Like, here's the problem.
That unrequited love is painful.
It's ugly.
It's really, really painful.
It is.
So then, so the follow-up question to that with our last 5 minutes is it better to have loved and lost or to never have loved at all?
Loved and lost.
Yeah, absolutely loved and lost.
Oh, yeah, because you have to feel it. I think it's I think the people that have never experienced the nausea, well, the big thing if after a little bit of counseling and two therapists. When it finally was brought to my attention that love is not nausea. Like, if every time you're around someone, you're just nauseous and sweaty and nervous, that's not really love.
It's not like butterflies love.
Yeah, that's kind of like a, what?
It's like a disease.
Or is that irritable bowel syndrome? I'm not sure if that.
But you know what I mean? It's that feeling. Like, love is when you're actually comfortable with someone and there's an ease there and it just, there's an ebb and flow, not that like, on pins and needles, am I going to say the right thing? Do I look the right
that's
way?
That's horrible.
It's when you can roll over and fart, and you're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You might not love it, but
it's been a million years, but I remember, I think I'm right on who it was that I was in love with at the time, but I remember being, I remember where I was living, and I was sitting, like one of my first cell phones, and I'm sitting on the floor in the room of the house that I lived in at the time. I was a roommate with somebody else, and I remember I felt like I was like a 16-year-old girl because I was on the phone, I'm talking to mom, and I'm explaining, you know, how happy or how thrilled I was and how la 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 la. I remember laying on the floor, and then the closet door was open, and I leaned back, and I realized I'm on the floor talking to my mom about being in love, and I'm just laying in a pile of dirty clothes.
In a closet.
But it didn't matter to me because I was just happy as shit.
Just happy.
Happy.
Happy as Larry.
Yeah, there was that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
but you know, round. But you know, I was going to use the word tantamount. I don't know where that came from.
Tantamount. Good. Like
that. To that is the fear.
One down from paramount.
To me, this is a fear that I have, and I don't know if anybody else has this. You clearly don't. You don't. Al and I, and this is, the funny thing is that so many people come to Al and I for relationship advice because we've been single for fucking ever. We're the last people to ask, right? Because I'm going on 12 years, whatever it is. Anyway, the point is the fear of knowing what that feels like when you do fall in love and that you are there, the fear of thinking that that will never happen again is really, it fucks with my head.
Okay.
Because
you'll never fall in love again?
No, that'll never, I fall in love every 5 minutes. I mean, okay. I see something. No,
you're boy crazy, but the fact that you'll.
No, but to get to that, like Boy George said that years ago. He's like, I fall in love every day. I fall in love with people all the time. But to feel that feeling, that when you're there and there is the two connection.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can fall in love with, oh my God, I love him. He's gorgeous. He's that. But to really find that and meet with somebody, even if it's a year, even if it's 2 years, if it's 6 months, but to have that Twitter pated, to have that.
Oh, yeah. You are on Twitter it with pated. The vocabulary tonight, Clayton.
It turns out tantamount does not mean what I thought.
So I don't know what it means, but.
But you use it in the.
Yeah, but in context.
But just
the context I thought it was
meant to be. Yeah, too.
Because I really have thought about that in regards to I was single my entire 30s, all of my 30s. That's 10 years. I'll be 44 next Saturday, a week from Saturday.
So, I was just going to holler at you and be like, 43.
So I realized that nobody will ever date me or ever have known me in my 30s. And that feels weird to me. But to think that that is never going to. Might that never happen again?
Sure.
I don't know.
And I thought about it recently because sometime over the course of the last year, I found the Gilda Radner live on Broadway, her concert. The album is on iTunes. And she has that song, Kiss Me With Your Clothes On, and it's about being young and being in your basement and listening to old Johnny Mathis records and laughing and just making out to make out. And then everybody goes their separate ways. Mm. Like, it doesn't have to end in sex. And there's just that charm to, we don't just have to fuck. Like, just to meet someone, like them, have a cozy little make out on, you know, their couch or the couch at a party and then be like, all right, I'll call you tomorrow. Right. Like, we will call each other. This doesn't mean we don't love each other, that we don't fuck on date one. And that it can stop with a little light petting and a cute
kiss.
Fun.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, like that kind of cute dating. I kind of miss that. And where will that opportunity?
Oh, cute dating.
Sure. Yeah, but find it. It's called "Kiss Me with Your Clothes On" by Gilda Radner. It's a really cute.
She's
song.
Brilliant.
Clearly, a few years old because we've lost Gilda many years ago.
Many years ago. Yeah, she's dead for like 25 years.
Yeah, still
there. We go. Whew. We made it.
And
it's
I love
the
that
end.
Mark, the Sherlock Holmes of the page, figured out who I was talking about. Because he moved from Mark's house to my house.
Oh, no.
I love
it. It's the end of hour three. We've been here. This is our 71st show in a never-ending battle to get you to love us.
The unrequited love.
Damn it.
I'm Clayton McKee. I'm here with Marnie Ryer, Katie June, Al Perkins. Next week, we will come to you live from a brand new Studio C. But we'd like to leave you with this final thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.